If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Is Ralph's penis really that small? Is Ralph's penis really that small? Ask his ex-girlfriends, they didn't feel a thing at all. Is Ralph's penis really that small?
The guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly hard.
See how they come at black people?
It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down!
Black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance, and if you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it.
And now...
You actually had a flu shot.
Really?
How'd you get it?
I got it right in the butt.
Our feature presentation.
Well, that's a good interview right there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That is a good interview. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Thursday the 13th of March. Bow, bow. What's happening, people?
Hey, how are you, Kevin?
I'm good.
Good.
I would just like to say to the KROQ listeners, God bless you for thinking of us. We appreciate the well wishes and the good intentions. But woman stuck to a toilet seat, seen that. Thank you. Got it. Received.
Okay. How many times did you get that? I didn't get it once.
Yeah,
and all, I don't need but, it.
But let me tell you about the story because the story is worthwhile. And I know why people thought of us because the story is fantastic. You saw it, right, Kevin?
I did not know.
Wichita, Kansas. Guy calls the police and says, hey, I think there's something wrong with my girlfriend. And they come over and she's sitting on the toilet and has been for 2 years.
2 years.
2 years. She had been sitting on the toilet so long. And by the way, this immediately smacked of an urban legend, fake story.
Yeah, that's
Onion,
why I didn't
something
look.
Like that. Yeah, first thing I did was went to Snopes and nothing up there on it. It's, be reported by the Associated Press.
That's a good tip, by the way, for everybody that sees something you're not sure of. Snopes, SNOPES.com, has a whole list of the, whether it's true or not.
They check it out. Yeah.
They do a real good job. I mean, so for instance, if you think a gas boycott is effective, go to Snopes first before you send it to your friend. So they show up and this woman is not, she's not tied down or anything like that. She's not being held against her will. She has chosen, according to the boyfriend, to sit on the toilet seat for 2 years. In fact, had been sitting there so long, and this is the best part of the story, is that the skin had grown around the toilet seat.
Oh, no. How is that possible?
I don't – that there's a lot of investigating. There's a lot of questions that need to be asked about this.
So she's way fat?
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say she's way fat. And there's no indication why the boyfriend picked that day to call the police and say, hey, I think there's something wrong with my girlfriend, when she'd been there for 2 years. She was wearing clothes with her sweatpants down around her, her legs or something. She seemed disoriented. Her legs looked like they had atrophied, said the police.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So they took her to a hospital in Wichita. And she didn't. Apparently the woman tried to refuse cooperation with the ambulance that showed up, with the police. She didn't want to have anything to do with them. She told them to go away. She was fine.
She was happy where she was?
It's one of the more bizarre things I think I've ever seen.
Has to be some kind of mental illness, right?
Has to be.
But how ill is he that it took him 2 years to get her off the seat?
Yeah, at
a lot
some
of questions.
Point, at some point
after
you want...
After 2 days, you go get help.
I don't know. Maybe after an hour.
2 days?
No way. I don't know. I'm giving...
No,
some
I mean,
room.
You know, you go to bed, you wake
room.
Up in the morning, you go, you're still there, I'm calling somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 days.
You charge her and knock her off.
The hell.
The EMT that was called, the ambulance that was called, they had to pry the toilet seat off of her with a pry bar.
Oh, God.
Before they sent her to the hospital. Anyway, so we don't know whether there's going to be charges filed against the boyfriend or what the deal was, but she was there because she wanted to be, and nothing's weirder than that.
I can't imagine that you didn't cut off circulation, though.
That's what was wrong with her legs, I think.
Because, but no, atrophied is just not using them, but I'm surprised she's not going to lose a limb.
Hmm.
I mean, she sits there for 30 minutes, and it's like, okay, I can't feel my legs anymore.
The only thing I could think is maybe she was trying to, like, read all the Harry Potter books at once or something. She just needed
really slow reader.
Just a private, quiet place where she could just, you know, just read, not be bugged. It's the only thing I could think.
I mean, clearly, both people involved. I was reading this story yesterday, and like Bean said, it's just so bizarre. I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Probably didn't believe it.
But clearly, both people involved are somehow mentally ill. But as far as the boyfriend's concerned, you say, how did he not notify someone within 2 years? Unfortunately, with the advent of the internet, there's a lot of people out there that have relationships in their own mind with people that they've never even met. And I suspect that this is one of those situations.
You don't think they live together?
There's, you know, I saw, you know, documentaries about guys, you know, lonely people in the Midwest that believe that they have serious relationships with women in Monaco or, you know, Nigeria.
But what does that have to do with if you're in the same house as the girlfriend?
Another story I read, or write up on this same story, said that the police are investigating whether or not he's even been to see her within the last 2 years. Like
he has his own place,
right? But
I didn't know that.
So yeah. I mean, the story is still.
So
very,
maybe she
very,
was online
of,
in the bathroom.
No. I'm just saying that people are still. They say, well, if they're a couple, how did he not notice after 2 years that
right.
she's
not much
been
of
in
a
the
couple.
Toilet? But I think this is one of those conditions of people that are super lonely and super kind of crazy.
I like to get their emails back and forth. Wouldn't you just like, hey, still on the toilet?
What are you doing?
Same.
You?
Same.
She had to be living with someone because someone had to give her food.
Yeah. Yes, because she couldn't leave the toilet. That's right.
Yeah, I don't know what Mike's talking about, but he used to go in and bring her food and water in the bathroom every day. And he'd say, honey, would you please leave the bathroom today? And she goes, no, not today, maybe tomorrow.
What's that about?
Every day for 2 years.
That was the ongoing
she
relationship
slept
that they
there?
Had.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
He needs to be locked up, too.
That's too much. I mean,
and the cop said, why didn't you call us earlier if you thought something was wrong with your girlfriend? He's like, oh, I don't know. It just didn't hit me.
Didn't hit me?
Just seemed like now things were really bad.
He's Johnny on the spot.
I'm not sure everyone
needs
their own house.
She was emaciated. She was out of it. And she was incoherent. She was sort of woozy. I mean, as you can imagine, she's got a lot of issues.
Did she go back home after going to the hospital and get back on the toilet?
I don't think she's out of the hospital
yet.
Oh,
yeah. Right.
She's still
there.
She used to be a care worker, actually. She used to be a nurse.
No kidding.
And she just stopped showing up to work about 2 years ago.
She had to go.
Wouldn't
leave the house.
Has she been able to go? Do we know that report? After 2 years?
Apparently she is. She is now, yes, empty.
Okay, good.
She is fully empty.
I saw conflicting story.
How
no,
many
no more
stories
no
have
more
you
stories
seen?
From you, Mike. I'm going to ask Ralph because he seems to understand. I saw conflicting views on this as well. One story said that she was really overweight. Another one said she was malnourished. Did you get any like details on that?
I heard that she was malnourished, that she looked emaciated and incoherent when they found her.
Good times.
Well,
but,
I don't
you know,
like
if you... the thing about the skin is, because it's a growing entity, skin is, if you put anything against your skin for 2 years, it will adhere to you.
But that big?
If you were to wrap your fingers closed and put a bandage around it for 2 years, when you undid it, your hands would be fused together. Your fingers would be fused together.
I could have webs?
Cool. You'd have more like paddles. You'd look like, Bray Walker by the time 2 years had gone by. But yeah, I mean, if you just put anything up against the skin, because of the moisture especially, that becomes, you know, between the object and the skin, it'll actually will adhere and grow.
So she was stuck to the toilet.
She was part of the toilet. Room.
But happy.
The toilet seat had fused to her ass.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm surprised they didn't have to remove the seat and take the whole... They did? They
pried the seat off the toilet and then took her and the seat to the hospital in order to have the seat removed in surgery. Good time.
Wow.
I don't like to judge you guys, but I think that's too much time in the bathroom.
You think?
I do. I think so. So, well, I'll definitely
Bean
be following.
Would like to read that, so Bean at krock.com.
No, you got it. Received it. Thank you.
Be great.
Did get it.
Please
thank
send
you
it
very
him.
Much. Appreciate that, but
Bean,
thank you.
Bean at
so. So anyway, that's the hot story of the day. So that happened.
Wow. So that woman is still in the hospital with a toilet seat on her ass. Good.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Well, your life isn't all that bad today, is
that's
it?
That's what I was just thinking.
Exactly.
Whatever problems you have... You're not stuck to a toilet seat for 2 years.
True.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Right.
South by Southwest is this weekend.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
yeah.
I think it's going on, is it today or tomorrow?
Today. So, today? I think it's today.
Austin, Texas is where everybody goes. A bunch of new music shows up. They play it live. There's established bands show up too. But the coverage on DirecTV is starting tomorrow, and it's 8 hours tomorrow, 8 hours Saturday, 8 hours Sunday.
Oh, that's great.
I'm psyched.
Is
they're
going to
be showing
time?
Full sets from the bands or what?
I think so, yeah. No, it's not the first time because I watched it last year.
Oh,
that's
did?
How I became aware of it. And Matt Pinfield, who was the host last year, is the host again this year.
Great. All right.
So we're going to talk to him today on the Kevin and Bean Show, and just talk to him about what kind of bands he's looking forward to, what the coverage is. Mm-hmm. It's a really great music festival. So
yeah, it's kind of like the Sundance Film Festival is to movies. That's what this is to music. And you know, record labels are down there looking for bands that they can sign. And you know, it's an honor to get accepted to play at the festival. You know, it really makes you a buzz band if you get played down there. And
right.
It's, you know, everybody's goal is to get some press. So yeah, it's a cool event.
Kat's on her way down there.
Mm-hmm.
Our own Kat.
Of course,
we're going to talk to her tomorrow.
Kat, what are you doing down there? She said yesterday. She said, is there beer and are there boys? That's all you needed to know.
And then we said, can we talk to you on Friday? And she said, if I'm up. What are the chances of that?
Zero.
Also on today's show, I don't know if you heard about this, but in Thailand there are Buddhist monks who apparently are hitting on chicks online.
That doesn't seem very monk-like.
Doesn't, but that's what they're doing.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're flirting online.
They don't have a lot to offer, really, do they?
They don't, no. Hey, where you live? Well,
Wichita, I'm on a toilet.
I watched American Idol last night.
Oh,
yes, finally. You're coming around. You see what a great show it is.
Yeah.
Now you're with us. Now you understand the mania.
This was the results show.
Yeah.
Best hour you ever spent in your whole life.
I brought in highlights.
You loved it.
I brought in highlights.
Okay.
It was Beatles night, you know.
Oh, well, that's good for you.
So that's
everything you love.
You love them.
And it's the results show, so they don't really do anything. I mean, really, they don't
maybe
anything.
Maybe you didn't pick the best night.
One out of the two this week. What do you want for me? If I'm not picking the best night, maybe it shouldn't be on.
Good point.
Horton, here's a who, a-holes. people who name their kids after products.
Oh.
There was a story about a parent who named their kid Miller Lite.
And then?
First name, middle name, Miller and Lite.
Matthew McConaughey wanted to, I think it was someone
steal
in his family, wasn't
it? Was
it
was his cousin,
like a relative?
Good times. So we'll talk about that today. We will talk
about... Hey, there are some names, by the way. There's a lot of kids out there, for instance, named Nike. I mean, there's just some products that people just love and... They pass that down to their children. I mean,
well, if you named a kid Miller, I wouldn't think about it. It's the light.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. Well, it's less filling. So
true.
He's got that going for you.
That's true.
Lyrics Marketing is the name of the company. They will pay you to put a product in your song, in your lyrics. So if you're writing a song, they will pay you to put Coke or Nike or whatever their sponsor wants it to be in the lyrics of your song.
I imagine if you're a pretty big artist, you could get a lot of money for that.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
It rubs me the wrong way, though. Really, really.
It's not surprising. I mean, they're putting ads on fruit.
Yeah.
What's left?
That is pretty much the limit.
It rubs you the wrong way if you're only thinking of it from an artistic standpoint,
right,
where you think it's going to change the song if somebody signs up for this deal. But from a commercial standpoint, if that's the way an artist can make a living, if he needs a, you know, needs some money to live on, I can understand why somebody would do it. You know, it's a business, too, in addition to being music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of those things are true, but that's the discussion that we'll have to have with the guy who came up with the idea.
If you're writing a song and you're thinking about a sponsorship, some product, that doesn't seem – that seems bad. Seems like if you're going to make it, you should make it without sponsorships. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just my my feeling. The Elliot Spitzer wiretap on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And we need to tell a bunch of people to stop it.
Just in general?
Yeah.
So are they doing something?
So stop it. That's going to happen today on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we're going to try and talk to Jed the Fish if he gets here in time, which is highly unlikely. Because Jed crazy. Jed sit on the toilet for 2 years crazy.
Yeah, totally.
He is.
Yeah. And don't forget, we are giving you Xbox 360 or PS3 and Guitar Hero 3. And the song that you are listening for is... Where is it, Mike?
Prayer for the Refugee. Of the Refugee, I guess.
By Rise Against, and that's in the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh.
So it's coming up between 6 and 7 o'clock this morning. Your chance to pick the system, and you get Guitar Hero 3. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ralph Garman, you hear the good news that Kevin is now 100% on board with American Idol 2?
I heard. He's in love
with
it.
That's fantastic.
Didn't say that exactly.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Starts watching it. It's great. Highlights coming up next hour, plus what's up with the monks hitting on chicks online. It's 5:52 on the Kevin and Bean Show Thursday morning. Here's Ralph with our first look at the Showbiz Beat.
Turns out America doesn't like gay strippers who can't sing. So they voted off David Hernandez last night.
Well, that was the dude that was the gay stripper?
Yeah.
Yeah, dumb.
Yeah.
Really dumb.
And bad.
Yeah.
Saisha Mercado and Christy Lee Cook were the other two bottom vote getters, and any one of them could have left, and I would have been just as pleased.
Yeah. That was the right bottom three.
But at least we got to see Jim Carrey dressed up as an elephant.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Good times.
Yeah.
And Kat McPhee, who just was just
she looked
yummy.
Awesome.
Just
isn't
yummy.
She beautiful?
She sure is. Hey, I want to give congratulations to our buddy Joel McHale. He and his lovely wife, Sarah, are the proud parents of a brand new baby boy as of last night. So congratulations to Joel. He's probably not up listening because he was pretty tired.
Yeah.
By all accounts when everything went down. But this is their second boy. So congratulations to those guys. Congratulations also to Paris Hilton and Benji Madden. Apparently things are getting serious.
They seem right for each other.
They sure do. You know things are getting serious with Paris when she takes her boyfriend out to get her skin rejuvenated with him.
What?
Yeah. Apparently,
what does that mean?
They're big spa goers. They just got his and hers facials, and they go to spas all the time because they love to take care of their skin.
Okay.
Benji! Britney Spears, apparently still dating Adnan Galib.
Really?
Although there have been rumors to the contrary. He showed up at her joint last night and was admitted inside and then disappeared inside Britney's house. However, previously on Monday night, he had been barred from entering. So maybe Britney's on again, off again with this guy. Rumor has it that she ended the relationship after he found out that he was cheating on her with a model named Amanda Pagel.
Oh, how do you blame him for that?
But now he's still telling friends that Britney's pregnant with his child. So no way of knowing what the status of that relationship is. Andy Dick is back to his old tricks.
Did you go on your date?
No. Psycho Mike's new boyfriend was, according to the New York Daily News, seen trying to hit on a bunch of women at a Los Angeles nightclub over the weekend.
Wow.
Well, you know, he's bi. Yeah.
Sure.
And he needs to pick up some new methods, perhaps, of introducing himself to women. He started to knock the girls over.
What?
Ripped out accidentally an earring from one lady's ear.
Oh, no.
And then finished his display by throwing the girl's purses across the room.
What was that?
He's a douche.
Wow.
It's like a five-year-old.
Reportedly, he smelled strongly of alcohol at the time of the
outburst. Oh, how dare you.
Yeah. Lisa, here's a little musical news for you.
Yeah.
I know how you love the Broadway.
I do.
Remember that movie Mask that starred Cher as the mom of that dude who had the effed up face?
Oh yeah.
He had like a giant.
It's at the Pasadena Playhouse. I'm going.
What?
Oh, dear God.
I'm going.
Practically
on.
Everyone who's acted in, produced, on? Or even seen a play is gay.
Next week, I'm going.
So her son, Cher's son, has this effed up face.
Right.
It looks like someone hit him with a frying pan.
What about Cher's effed up face?
Well, yeah, she's got one, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, that movie Mask, they're making a musical out of it.
Made a musical out of it. So it's a Pasadena place.
I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, you can't.
Because it's really just...
I know you were trying to throw her a bone, but...
Well, I was also trying to talk about how lame it is to make this movie into a musical.
Yeah.
Musical, and,
well, I will let you know.
Oh, no, we know.
Yeah, we know.
We don't need for you to let us know anything.
No, I'll let you know.
No, we know.
No, I know that you want to know, and I will let you know.
Let me tell you something. Greg Evigan, former star of BJ and the Bear, is the lead in the musical. So that's all you need to know, I think.
How'd they pull him?
That. I don't know.
Greg can sing.
Lisa, in your opinion, is everything available to be made into a play? I mean, is there nothing that you can look at and go, well, that shouldn't be a play. They should just leave that alone.
No, of course
well,
not.
Well, then how is Mask appropriate? How
My
is that a good choice?
My face is really effed up, but the blind girl digs me because I'm beautiful inside.
Maybe it would be like Elephant Man a little bit.
Yeah. That made a great musical. Oh, no, wait a minute. That wasn't a musical at all.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Kevin Federline, speaking of musicals, he's reportedly going to take an acting, singing, dancing role in the Broadway musical Legally Blonde. Another movie made into a musical.
Dear God, I hope that's
given
true.
Up on Broadway.
He wants to show the world what he can do. And apparently what he can do is destroy a Broadway musical.
Yes. That's the best news I've ever heard.
K-Fed on Broadway.
Perfect.
I'm sure that's
Mitch.
Sure Lisa's happy about that. I'm sure she'd go.
That's right.
Well, it is on Broadway.
And I know...
I am a douchebag. Look at my gut.
And I know we come down on Rachel Ray pretty hard around here.
Well,
we
she's hateable.
Because Omar hates her.
And I do, too.
I don't know why you would hate her. I don't know what she's done to make you hate her.
I can't
She seems to be
that...
a perfectly pleasant young lady.
Yeah, she's too, a little overly cheery.
Too pleasant. She's way too cheery. Yeah. I don't believe people that are way, way, way too
cheery.
Well,
that's her job, to do daytime television, to be cheery. What, do you want to be all moody, making a souffle?
No, I want you to be normal. She's
maybe
way
that's normal for her. Maybe she's just a spunky, cheery person.
Then I don't want to be anywhere around her.
Well, because you hate joy and you hate and you hate happiness. That's what the problem is.
Don't make me play Omar's Rachel Ray song.
I don't have that kind of time.
All right.
But however, she did a pretty cool thing the other day. She does this thing on her show where she brings an interior designer to remake someone's home to their specifications.
On her cooking show?
Yeah. She does a home improvement kind of. She, you know, cause she
she's
does
a daytime
hey,
talk show.
Hey, Omar, I need you.
Talk show.
Yeah, her on her talk it's show. She does like show. A lifestyle thing. It's like Martha Stewart kind of thing.
Oh,
she does
I
cooking,
it was
but
just...
she also does talking, and she does special guests, and she fulfills...
Separate from her
viewers' wishes, that kind of
she
stuff.
She needs to stop it all.
So there was a hardcore Kiss fan.
Kiss the band.
Kiss the band.
Okay.
And she rededicates... she takes his room dedicated to the band Kiss and brings an interior designer to... reorganize and redecorate it to make it like a really cool Kiss museum in
right.
his house.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool her to do.
Okay.
Well, she brings in this crew, and one of the guys knocks over a super rare Kiss lamp and destroys it.
Oh.
And the guy loses his mind. So in order to make up for it, she gets a replacement Kiss lamp and has Gene Simmons bring it to the dude's house and give it to him personally. To make up for it.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty
that's
cool.
Nice.
If you're a Kiss fan, Gene Simmons coming to your house giving you a lamp. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Still a fat bitch. Kevin will say okay as long as Rachel Ray was super frowny.
I'm sorry, what, Omar?
She's still a fat bitch.
Dude, what did she do to you? Did she break your Kiss lamp? Is that what the problem is?
Too fake.
That's what I say.
She probably broke it herself. And she's all blaming on this douche nozzle.
But if you're going to fake something, isn't faking happiness and joy the best way to go?
No.
No?
No.
All right. Let me throw this out. Let me throw this out to you guys. I'm gonna bring up the name of a friend of ours who is exactly like Rachel Ray, who's super naturally peppy and happy all the time. And that's our little friend Christine, who you guys all love. She is one of the happiest, most positive person in the world.
Hater. Nope. She's real.
She's still a fat
You say
bitch.
She's real because you know her.
Yeah.
How do you know Rachel Ray isn't like that
Dude,
also?
Dude, I've seen her pissed. I've seen her sad. She shows emotion.
Who
you
does?
Know what I'm saying? Christine.
Yeah, well, because you're hanging out with her. Maybe you hang
exactly.
out. Maybe you hung out with Rachel Ray.
And
you'd see
the
that
fact
too.
That she's not a big fat whore.
You only see Rachel Ray on TV, so you see her at her in her happy place where she's all peppy and happy
yeah,
and doing
what
she loves.
Her
the
job.
Interviews.
Why
the
hell
yeah.
are
that?
You guys defending
That's
Rachel Ray?
That's what I want to know. Because I think there's a lot. I mean, it's not like she's Tyra Banks or something. She seems to do
please.
She seems to do a decent job on her show,
she
seems fine.
No, she can't make a goddamn cake. She can't bake and make coffee. She calls herself a cook. What? She's a fraud, dude.
Omar had a box of Wheat Thins with her picture on it. He took it back to the grocery store and tried to get his money back.
It's not so much I'm defending her. I'm just having a hard time comprehending the level of fury directed towards Rachel Ray.
His anger is accurate, I think, and it's good. I think it's the right amount.
Like she's the Taliban or something. I'm sorry, Omar. I didn't mean to bring that up. I didn't mean to talk about your family like
They're
that.
They're not that bad.
Yeah. Not for Omar.
Right.
Time is now.
Yeah. The time will be now for Rachel Racing. That's what I'm saying.
Glad we Daddy, why does Omar vent. Have a towel on his head?
Because he's a terrorist.
Honey. Good question.
Thank you, Omar.
All right.
Fat whore is the answer.
Go
Rob.
Now.
He's just waiting to see if you're going to go back and lick her some more.
I'm not licking her. I can't understand the level of rage
fake.
Directed
Remember
towards
Kathy
her.
Kathy Lee Gifford? Same fake BS.
But she's a douchebag.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is a good example.
It wasn't
because she was fake happy,
Way
all,
fake
the time.
Happy all the time.
That's not what bothered me about Kathy Lee. Kathy Lee was an evil, evil person.
Yeah.
She was like mean to Frank and to her kids and everything and to Regis. Never
Rachel,
liked her.
Rachel, that's what I'm saying.
It's just a matter of time before that comes out about Rachel Ray. You know that. I'm
that
telling
she's
you.
She's a bad mom.
She kicks puppies.
Yeah.
She eats babies.
She eats babies.
Aborted fetuses.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she puts in a special
Those
recipe.
Sitting out of breakfast at 6:01.
That's all I'm saying, dude.
All right.
Well, I think we got it, Omar. Thanks.
I'm going to get proof.
Tell your story, Walken.
You go somewhere
all right,
else
it's
now.
It's 7:10, special report. I'm going to bring out the news.
Okay, you do that.
Wow, you're kicking out Omar. He's your backup,
I
Kevin.
I know.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor William H. Macy, one of the best. He is 58 years old today. Actress Dana Delaney, turns 52. Adam Clayton of U2 is 48 years old. Common turns 36, and Danny Masterson from That 70s Show is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm saying let the monks have a little fun. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think that's what monks are known for.
No, they're monks. I think they're supposed to do monk things.
If you're going
to
be a Buddhist monk,
right?
I don't know. It seems like be a Buddhist monk. If you're not going to be a Buddhist monk, hit on people online. Fine.
Well, we need to find out more about this story, but apparently the Thai government is investigating claims that, yes, Buddhist monks have broken their celibacy vows by flirting with women online on a social networking site that apparently is very popular around the world, based here in California, by the way, called High Five. I love this, by the way. Did you see the name of the group that the conservative public watchdog group that brought this to the attention of the government?
Oh, yeah.
The Network of Civilians to Protect the Nation, the Religion, and the King is the group. And we thought we had it bad with the Parents Television Council.
God.
We had lightning hook up somebody in, I believe, in the Buddhist monastery, right? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Randy.
How are you?
Good. How you go?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. Glad to hear. May Buddha be with you.
And to you as well. Now, are you, and I love this, city. Are you in Bangkok?
You got that right, baby.
That's what I thought. Now, what's the deal? We've heard conflicting reports, but one story at least reports that most males in your country do go into the monastery for a period of time.
Yeah, you got to put some time into the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to go, and then you serve your time as a monk. And then you get to go out after you serve your time and your hair grow back.
Now, don't you have a celibacy rule that you have to remain celibate?
There is a rule in the monkdom.
Mm-hmm. Monkdom?
Yes. They say you got to be celibate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? What's involved in celibacy besides not having sex? Does that mean not going out on dates? Does it mean no holding? Does it mean not talking to a woman? How strict is it?
You can't have sex with women.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to engage women in any sort of intersexual or interaction or social interaction.
Oh, you're really? Not even supposed to talk to them?
Nope.
So it's no flirting even?
No.
Okay,
wow.
All right.
Mm.
And you can't even make your penis throw up by yourself.
Okay.
That's not allowed either.
That's not allowed either, okay.
No!
Well, that's rough.
No! Wanky, wanky.
Right. I had not heard that delicate medical term before, Mr. Monk.
Yes.
That's
right. Mr. Monk.
So were you one of the monks that has been involved on this social networking site trying to meet women?
No, that would be horrible. That would be ridiculous and against everything I stand for. I would
okay.
not do that. Hold on a second. Somebody at the door. Hold on a second.
What?
Hello. I'm Chris Hansen from NBC's Dateline.
Oh.
Can I have a word with you, please?
Oh, no.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
What's the matter with you?
Are you Funky Monk 69?
What do you mean?
Uh-oh.
We have some transcripts here.
Something bad's going on.
From the internet, where you talk to a young lady asking her to polish your Buddhist monk head.
I'm on the radio now. Can this wait?
No, I don't think it can.
Oh.
What's your idea, going on the internet, soliciting young girls, saying, would you like to see under my monk robes?
Mm.
I was going to tell her not to do it. I was going to save her soul with a Buddhist thing.
Really?
A Buddhist thing.
That's just sad.
Yeah.
Guys, I had to go handle this now. They got camera in my face.
Hey, don't run out front. You're going to get...
I got to go.
Oh, you're free to go. You're free to go.
Oh, no.
Sucker.
So, Kevin, welcome to the club, man. Great to have you on our side. Glad you finally saw the light. I know you tuned into American Idol last night for the first time in many seasons, and you loved it.
Maybe the first time I watched that show all the way through, because I really don't like that show. And
I'm
perfectly aware that I'm in the minority. I know everyone loves it. I'm not trying to tell everybody else what to do. It's just for me, not a big fan.
And now, 60 minutes of your life you'll never get back.
That's oh, right. Come on. How are you going to come at us like that?
So it starts with a Horton Hears a Who commercial. Begins with that.
The show?
The show begins with that. This is a show that has not even attempted to try and keep the sponsorship separate from the show.
Yeah.
I mean,
because they sit there with their cups, their cups. And
yeah,
everything.
I understand that everybody has to make a living. It's really tough right now. I get that. We have to do a certain amount
but
of commercials or whatever.
Time, and it's an enormous show. Do they really need to do that too?
Yes, they do, apparently. And so Horton hears a who. There's a little tiny village on a cotton ball, and there's a giant elephant, and the little people on the cotton ball are trying to watch American Idol, but it's not coming in clear. So they have to tell the elephant that he should maybe move the antenna a little bit, and then they can watch the show.
Dad. Horton, I kind of need your help.
No problem, Mr. Mayor. Let's see.
Come on.
What's on?
American Idol.
Okay, so that's how they come out of the gate.
All right.
So that's they got that going for them.
So that's fun.
Well, and Fox is pretty shameless when it comes to any kind of promotion, not just for movies, but their TV shows during other programs. I mean, they really do beat you over the head with it. That is true.
Yeah. But they don't even try and keep them separate. You know that commercial where three people act like they're a morning radio team and they start talking about stuff they like that we play on K-Rock?
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
try to move that as far away from us just so people don't think that's us.
Right.
You know what I mean? You might not be able to, but you try, for God's sakes. So
but
then,
at least that's all they did with Horton Hears
right,
a Who last night.
Exactly. Until they went to Jim Carrey. First thing in the audience dressed up like an elephant. He had a big giant snout.
He's the voice of Horton in the movie. That
had
comes out
some
tomorrow,
big
right.
feet. And wow, do they make bad jokes. And man, do they laugh at it.
What's with the costume?
Oh, you know, when I get into a part, I immerse myself in it generally. And sometimes it sticks with me for a while.
This wouldn't be a Fox film, would it be?
Uh-oh. Busted. You like to point out the elephant in the room, don't you?
Yeah. So then that happened.
That was a laugh.
Yeah, I can't
yeah,
defend.
So you're down. You're down with that, Bean?
No.
That guy gets the thumbs up from you?
No, that's believe me. Shameless movie promotion is not why I'm tuning into American Idol.
Okay, so that's all we've had so far.
Right.
Open a commercial. First thing, Jim Carrey commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, because there's nothing that happens on that show last night, you know, until they kick someone off, which is the only thing they do with the whole hour. They have to give you a recap because it's been, I don't know, a couple of weeks since the last American Idol was on.
Before we get there, here's a recap of last night's incredible show. Take a look.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's been a hard day's night for our top 12.
Oh, did you see that? Did you see what he did? Hard day's night.
That's our boy Ryan.
See, Lennon and McCartney.
Uh-huh.
I can't say Beatles for some reason. Don't know why.
Yeah,
hard
weird.
Day's night.
Sure.
Full, I don't know, 5-minute recap of a show that happened less than 24 hours ago.
A,
it
they have an hour to
night.
Fill.
Yeah.
A, they have a whole hour to fill with 1 second of content. B, I know it's hard to believe. There are some people, maybe, who didn't see last night's show who would appreciate the recap.
And this isn't Lost. They don't even do this on Lost. They do a 30-second recap on Lost, you know, right. last week. This is last night, and they just go on and on and on and on.
And Lost is very confusing
yes.
and complicated. You need it.
So hopefully the Beatles cheese comedy is over, because that's not good for anyone, right?
Who will get the ticket to ride? Your votes are in, and it's time for the results.
After this. Okay, so he's still doing cheese, and he's still teasing
it. The results. He's going to say that like 100 times.
But
right?
before that, they have all 12 finalists in Ford automobiles. And all 12 finalists are singing a song that we play on K-Rock
yes.
as they act like they're running for office. And they pull up, and it looks like the Secret Service is out in front, and there's podiums and microphones, and they're all waving the peace signs like they're, you know, because it's an election year.
Hmm.
And they all sing.
'Cause we're going the distance. We're going for speed.
Okay, all right, good.
Well,
all do the Ford
good.
Focus commercials,
all,
yeah.
All 12 finalists in the Ford Focus. The only thing they didn't do is throw in Horton Hears a Who. But then there's that. And then, not only is there the commercial for Ford, but check out the prize you can get.
Find out how you could be headed to L.A. for a VIP visit to the set of the Ford music video. You can go to AmericanIdol.com, where you can also check out all the Ford music videos.
Yes. You can win a trip to the set of that video.
Yeah, I think the poll for a fan would be, obviously, you get a chance to meet all the contestants when you go. I guess that's what they're shooting for.
Set of the video.
Right.
There's like 8 cars, and there's a couple podiums. That's it. But if you really want to, you can watch all of the other Ford commercials online.
Ooh.
Isn't that great?
Well, I'm going right online to do that.
So then they take all 12 of the finalists, and they take them to the world premiere of Horton Hears a Who.
Well, they haven't mentioned Horton Hears a Who in a couple of minutes. Watch this tape.
I saw Phil today. Oh, see? They saw Phil.
I love Horton.
I love Horton. Okay, so that goes on for a while.
Right.
Then, I'm not making this up. If you didn't see it last night, you're going to think I'm kidding. They took phone calls.
What?
On a TV show, American Idol, they took phone calls from fans.
About what?
Yeah, I have a question for Jason Castro.
Sure. This is the dude with the dreads?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone more stupid than me, but this guy really takes the cake.
If Jason could be any American Idol judge, which would he want to be?
But I think maybe I'm the most unlike Paula, I guess, because she's a girl and... I don't know.
You can change up your hair every week, right?
Yeah, maybe wear like some Randy shoes with a nice V-neck like Simon. Get them all in there.
So a hybrid. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, then they took about 3 or 4 more calls from little kids.
That
was the first time they've ever done that, by the way, was the phone calls. That's a brand new feature this year.
That's
I don't know
one.
Why they do that. The questions were stupid. And that kid, Jason, by the way, kind of one of the running themes of his character arc this season has been that he's painfully shy and it's very difficult for him to speak in public. So people are always asking him questions and he always fails and always
crazy.
Sounds bad.
And then they asked Ryan and Simon why they just don't box. Why don't you just fight, Robert, right up there on stage? And Ryan says, get the mud out. No one mentioned mud till Ryan brought it up. Don't know what he's doing. So they take like 5 more calls. Then they bring out Catherine McPhee, who's super hot.
She sure the hell is.
And David Foster, this guy, this piano player who's won a bunch of Grammys, is accompanying her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not done with the plugs yet. So they ask him, David Foster, you know, what it is he's going to be doing soon.
And I hear you're coming after a job of mine, aren't you?
Not
you want to
really
be a host
Simon
now?
Simon gets everything pretty much right.
Sorry, I'm going to go on Access Hollywood every week for 12 weeks and just like fine-tune it a little bit.
Okay, so he's going to be on Access Hollywood each week. Telling you what he thinks about American Idol.
That's right.
Oh.
You still in, Bean?
This is the show you saw last night will be the number one rated show of the whole week. You
That's
know.
Really not what he asked.
Yeah, the Wednesday night American Idol is the one.
He said still in?
You still in, Bean?
I'm still in.
You're standing by this.
But you tape this and fast forward,
you must
right?
fast forward.
I watch it all.
You must
don't.
Fast
I do.
Forward.
I watch it all. Some of it is horror and fascination, but some of it is I don't want to miss any nuances.
Oh,
now,
my God.
Here was the only fantastic moment in the show. There was one fantastic moment last night while American Idol was on the air.
Okay. Right. Victoria's Secret introduces BioFit.
Okay, that commercial was good. That Victoria's Secret commercial?
They're all good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
By the way, as an aside, last night during American Idol, and if you fast-forwarded through the rest of the commercials, you may have missed it, was, I think, the debut of our friend Charles, the security guard here at K-Rock, his Nike commercial, where he's playing drums in the middle of the stadium. It was a fantastic commercial.
Let's not direct people's attention away from what we're talking about.
I'm just saying, I did
Which
see that during AI last night and loved it.
American Idol. So they got the snappy banter between Ryan and the judges.
Yeah.
And
sure.
This happened.
Paula, where's your head right now?
On my shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, wow.
It's always good to have it back.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, now, so that's witty, and now Paula's been insulted, so now she has to come back with something good.
So funny, not.
So funny, not.
No. Yeah.
No. She's keeping not alive.
Not
Paula is living in the 80s, that's true.
All right, so recapping, Horton Hears a Who. Jim Carrey in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
A recap of the show the night before.
Right.
Who's going to get the ticket to ride, going the distance Ford commercial, go to L.A. to the set of the Ford commercial, or watch all of them. All 12 contestants at Horton Hears a Who. Phone calls, a bunch of phone calls. David Foster, Access Hollywood, Victoria's Secret commercial. Where's your head at? Funny, not.
See what you've been missing, Lisa?
This is the number one show of the week.
Oh, my God.
And then, the end, some dude named David Hernandez gets kicked off.
David Hernandez leaves us tonight on American Idol. Let's hear for David.
Come on, everybody. The guy lost. Put your hands together.
You've had an incredible journey, and Ruben Studdard has recorded a song to play us out. Take a look.
My life has changed so much because of the show. Nothing is the same.
All right, good, thanks.
I thought they had to sing.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen.
They changed that up last night and had them sing as they were placed into the bottom three instead of having to sing after they were eliminated from the show.
Part.
So,
well, that's
so
a
all
little
three,
more humane.
They would say, you're in the bottom three. And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, Bean, they would sing the same song they sung the night before.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that's pretty boring.
The song that got him into the bottom three. That's right.
The song that everyone hated yesterday. The reason they're in the bottom three, now
that's
they
right.
sing it again the
All
night after.
All three of them?
All three
sing
of
the
them.
Whole song?
Yes.
Yes.
The same song
God.
They sung the night before.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
And now, 60 minutes of your life you'll never get.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours. You can leave us a message on any topic.
Last night, by accident, I farted in my girlfriend's and my friends and I couldn't figure out the name of what that's called, so we had to make it up, and...
What do you think it is?
Rude.
What do you think the answer is?
I don't want to know.
Call it the steamed clam.
I don't even know how
that happened. Why did we have to do that?
Because I knew it would annoy you.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
This is Stephanie here. You know, sitting in traffic. Woohoo! I bet you want to know how you can get rid of traffic. Woohoo! Just go to www.producerAlexTheStupid.com.
Woo-hoo.
Wow.
What's that about?
I don't even know what that's about.
We were just talking about Rachel Ray about a half hour ago. And how fake she is.
Rachel Ray, outside on my window. Rachel Ray, behind the tree. I'm glad all I could see. What an annoying bitch that Rachel is she. And it's Rachel Ray, outside on my window pane.
Oh, obnoxious. Way too happy. 30-minute meals. Oh,
very nice. Lisa always has her fans.
Lisa May. Lisa May, Lisa May, Lisa May with a baseball bat. Lisa May, Lisa May, Lisa May with a baseball bat. You know.
I like it.
What are you going to do? Spoon me to death.
No.
I wish those words had never been spoken. People are still trying to locate it in movies. The update
Feel
is.
Feel free.
Doesn't exist. Not in any movie, anywhere, anytime. Not in a TV show. Not there. Just not there. Sorry we brought it up.
Hey, guys, that line's not from a movie. You got it all wrong. It's from a weekend I spent with Lisa May in Vegas, and she wore me out. And at the end, I said, what are you trying to do, pwn me to death?
See, because he left off the S.
That's not funny.
Ralph said, unless you can prove it to us, we don't want your suggestions.
Yeah, we need the audio.
Hey, Ralph, I found that little clip you were looking for in the movie. It was on Terminator 3. Hold on. Hey, play the tape. I'm going to spoon you to death.
Okay, settled.
Hey, guys, the spoon scene is from Empire Strikes Back. Hold on a minute. Press play on the DVD player.
Okay, hold on.
What do we going to do? Spoon him to death?
That's not even trying.
You had a little bit of hope when you heard him breathing, right?
You
thought maybe this guy's going to come with Darth Vader. No.
That's right.
No, it turns out that's not the case. And finally,
these gas prices are so ridiculous, so expensive that I can't even afford to tip Tammy Heidi after she fills my tank.
That's very nice. 323-520-AFRO.
I have a little bit of a complaint, by the way. I ordered a pizza from Pizza Hut on the online service yesterday. Remember we were talking about that a few weeks ago, how awesome that is?
Yeah.
Build your own pizza, and then they bring it out to the house?
Yeah.
Well, I filled in to pay by credit card, but you still have to sign when the little guy shows up.
Yeah.
You can't just leave it out on the doorstep. You still have to interact with humans, even though you do it that way. Even though you don't have to make a phone call anymore, you still have to actually sign the paper with the credit card
stuff. Why don't you just have your manslave, Marty, do it? Saves you.
no one was around. I was here by myself.
Unbelievable.
It kind of sucked.
You don't have
I just
to call.
To,
you don't to, have to.
He doesn't like to be face-to-face with anyone.
You
I
don't.
Have
to with answer the door. People.
He's hiding from people.
Bean, tape an envelope with the words pizza on it to the door and put enough money for a tip and change and everything and just keep the change.
But you have to sign the credit card.
Put on the internet order, pay with cash. And then you just. But the only problem is you have to pay with cash. But
yeah, you have to have cash.
If you pay with cash, you can put an envelope there and just keep the change.
Bean doesn't carry cash because cash isn't virtual.
Cash is real,
and you can't deal with cash on the internet, so it doesn't exist to Bean.
He doesn't like human interaction. He also doesn't like physical things.
When you're a brain in a jar, you don't have hands to hold money, so there's no use to Bean anymore because he is just like in Futurama. He's just in a glass tank with wires leading into his brain.
Yeah. My arms and legs have atrophied to the point now where they're useless anyway.
You should just sit your ass on the toilet. Mm-hmm. For 2 years, and just have Marty and your wife just carry your pizza in and out of the bathroom.
That's a great
until
idea.
You're just fused to the toilet.
I'm just saying, I had a complaint. It seems like an imperfect system because I still had to deal with the guy when he showed up.
And the rest of us order the pizza. Awkward. Doorbell rings. You go, yes, pizza's here. Give the guy money. Yeah, walk in, eat the pizza. Not difficult. One of the easiest things in life.
I don't like to open the door to the outside world. You know that. All right, it's 6:54 on the Kevin and Bean Show Thursday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's not fair. It's not fair to stir me up with all the hatred towards you and then just have me supposed to go off and talk about other things.
Okay, be funny, monkey.
That's so hard. Because now all I can focus on is just hitting Bean over the head.
But, you know, it doesn't really upset you that I bought a pizza online? Come on.
No, it bothers me that it's such a monumental activity for you.
That's a task. The likes of which human beings have never had to do.
Thought and strongly worded letters, and you have to bring it up after the fact. I've never ordered a pizza in my life and then talked about it the next day.
Right.
Wait a month, I order the pizza, and then I eat the pizza? That is ancient history for me. That goes into the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I move on with my life, and I'm dealing with new things.
I would have been happy.
Focused on the pizza order.
I would have been able to do that, except I had to come face to face with the pizza guy and then sign for it, and that annoyed me. I am going to write a strongly worded letter. Thank you, Ralph, for bringing that up.
Plus, Ralph, nothing has happened to him since then, so
exactly.
That's all he's got.
That's true.
All right, what do you do? What do you do if you're Terry Gilliam and the lead of your new movie, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, dies?
What?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, that was Heath Ledger.
Pack up and go home.
Heath Ledger was the star of the film, was in the midst of filming it for director Terry Gilliam when he passed away. It is a time travel movie in which Heath's character travels through time to a different location. However, the sequences were not shot where he arrives in his new location. Well, Terry has an answer.
According
to Variety newspaper, the character will change into a different actor each time he lands in a different location in time. That shouldn't be confusing at all.
No.
So and usually, time travel rearranges your
usually
face?
Usually Terry Gilliam's movies are so easy to follow anyway that they should really simplify things for everyone. Yeah. Now Heath will be Heath. And then when he travels through time in different locations, he will be Johnny Depp, then Colin Farrell, then Jude Law.
Wow.
They're all doing it?
Those guys are shooting, in Heath's memory, the remaining scenes to finish the film.
Wow.
I guess that'd be all right.
Works out pretty well for Terry.
That's going to be better than it would have been.
Get 5 stars instead of 1.
So. How about that?
I heard his, was it called Tideland? The last movie he made was just unwatchable, Ralph. Just you couldn't, like no one could sit through it. It was
Here's my thing about Terry Gilliam. He's a freaking genius. But as with many geniuses, sometimes he's so far out there that he's alone.
Right.
Sometimes if you go so far out there, you end up not taking anyone with you, and everyone just looks around and says, what the hell is this all about? I mean, if you look at Time Bandits or Brazil or even The Fisher King, one of my favorite movies with Jeff Bridges and Robin Williams. I mean, brilliant, brilliant work. And then every once in a while, it's just so so freaky nutty out there that you can't do it.
Yeah.
I think Baron Munchausen's one of those movies that if you see, it's like, what the hell's going on here? Anyway. Should be interesting, regardless of whether it's a hit or not. It should be always interesting to watch Terry Gilliam's work. Speaking of movies, this week's top DVDs, 101 Dalmatians, the number one DVD in the nation.
Wow.
Did they reissue it?
Yeah, here's the smart thing about Disney. They keep all their movies in this vault.
Right.
And every once in a while, they pick one up, they dust it off, they tart it up with new digital restoration, and they release it for a limited time.
Right.
And then they don't make any more. But so it really compels people to go to the marketplace and pick these up, especially for the hardcore Disney fans. They want to have every Disney movie ever on DVD.
They were advertising that as for the first time. I thought, they haven't put out the DVD of that?
I don't believe they have. They're very, very sparse with their release of these of the Disney classics.
Huh.
So 101 Dalmatians Platinum Edition was the number one by far.
That's the cartoon, right? Not the live action.
Right, yeah. This is the original cartoon one. The second place winner? was Dustin Hoffman and Natalie Portman's film Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Okay, don't
barely
remember
that.
Third
was Beowulf.
I'm Beowulf. I'm here to kill your monster.
And Into the Wild was number four. So.
That's a funny movie, that Into the Wild.
Whew. Laugh, hilarious. I thought I'd cry. More DVD news. The Adult Video News, which I subscribe to, has announced the production of Not Bewitched, XXX. Remember Not the Brady Bunch?
Yes.
Where they took the Brady Bunch sitcom and they made a pornographic version of it, cleverly calling it Not the Brady's.
This is Not Bewitched?
This is Not Bewitched.
You might need to work on the name a bit.
Star Jenna Hayes will star as Samantha, the witch.
Kevin, I think they picked those names on purpose to distance themselves from any legal action. No one can accuse them of trying to pass it off as being anything to do with Bewitched if you say in the title, it is Not Bewitched.
Big, bold letters, Not Bewitched.
Hmm. I think
but
that's
on
purpose. They
use all the names of the characters and the entire premise of the show. So. But I guess they're legally covered anyway. Jenna Hayes will star as a Smith.
And you know her, Ralph? Is she hottie?
Oh, yeah. And Ron Jeremy.
I'm sorry?
Co-stars as Dr. Bombay.
Oh, okay.
Samantha's doctor, so I'm sure there will be some gynecological humor. I'm looking forward to it. Valerie Bertinelli, Eddie Van Halen's ex-wife, is telling all of us via People.com that Eddie is sober and is not in rehab.
Really?
And she would like people who are spreading that rumor, Kevin, to stop it, Kevin. He is sick with an undisclosed illness for which he is undergoing tests, but Valerie says he is sober. That's not what's wrong with him in terms of rehab, and they're being very proactive about the illness, and she hopes and expects him to be back on tour soon.
I hope that's true.
That's bullshit.
Could it be a recurrence of the cancer?
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe he's got tongue cancer again, which was a bitch. Because, you know, he kept smoking right after he got it.
No kidding.
That's not enough to stop you from smoking.
That's bullshit.
And what do you do when you have to release a video, but your musical star is...
dead?
Fat, bloated, and crazy.
Britney Spears?
Britney Spears Music Company has solved the problem. They're going to animate her.
Can they animate her back to when she was hot?
I think they did.
Yeah, good.
An animated Britney Spears will star in her new music video, Break the Ice, where she plays a futuristic superhero.
Yes.
Just a sad...
Yes.
Yeah. We don't want to deal with her, so she doesn't show up to the movie shoots anyway. Let's just draw something. What do you say?
Yeah, this isn't like a really cool, you know, U2 or White Stripes artistic decision.
No.
This is, we can't put her in front of a camera. What else you got?
Yeah.
But they should make her, like, smoking hot, gigantic rack.
No,
I mean, they should really go for it.
It's just been announced that Harry Potter, the final Harry Potter book, will be made into two motion pictures.
Hmm.
They're going to split the story in half and make two movies.
It's pretty long.
Separated by 6 months.
They don't want to give it up, do they?
No, they do not.
This is it.
How much money can we make out of this? I know. We'll make two movies out of it.
All right. Three movies.
There are certainly enough plot twists in the 784-page novel to make two films. And so in order to be true to it, they're going to have to split it up into Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2. They'll be shot at the same time, and then they'll be released about 6 months apart. So you'll see the first half, and then 6 months later, you'll see the second half.
Okay. All right.
Sounds like sound business practice to me. And the LA Times has released an online poll asking people what were the best sports songs of all time.
Best sports songs.
Pretty interesting results. Number 10, YMCA by the Village People. How that is a sports song, I'm not quite sure. Perhaps they play it at a lot of sporting events. That's what
I think that must be.
Yeah, that's not a sports song, no.
Number 9, the Super Bowl Shuffle by the Chicago Bears.
Sure.
Wow.
Best sports song of all time, number 9.
Sure.
Number 8, I knew this had to be in the top 10 list. Rock and Roll, Part 2.
Sure.
Hey!
Hey!
Number 7, Talkin' Baseball by Terry Cashman.
Yeah.
No idea what that is.
Talking
novelty.
Baseball.
No, he
baseball.
Put out a whole album of baseball songs, and that was the one that a lot of people played. He made versions for every single major league team, so it gets a little bit of play every year.
Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen was number 6.
I had a friend who was a great baseball player.
Okay, so has baseball
in high school mentions it.
Has the word baseball
in the list.
All right, yeah. I'm out on this list. It's already bogus.
A good list.
Number 5. Did you know there's a song called D-O-D-G-E-R-S, Dodgers?
I did
by
not.
By Danny Kaye.
I did not
Danny
know that
Kay.
Song.
D-O-D-G-E-R-S.
I know there's Dodgers Boogie.
Come on, yeah. Let's rock tonight.
Not that one. No, I didn't
Wasn't
know.
Was that song featuring Beverly Hills Cop? Was that
sounds
like
a,
just
like
a song from the, a random song from the 80s and some 80s action picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eye of the Tiger, number 4. That's what I'm talking about, bitches.
There you go.
Sure.
Number 3, Centerfield by John Fogerty. Of course.
Oh, sure.
Legendary.
Put me in, coach.
Song.
I'm ready to play.
Number 2, We Are the Champions. We Will Rock You by Queen.
Sure.
And number 1.
Now, can I guess?
Sure.
You said Eye of the Tiger, which leads me to believe it has to be the theme from Rocky.
Not even in the top 10.
It has to be the greatest sports theme of all time, doesn't it?
Sports song of all time, not even in the top 10.
What about Na 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 Hey 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 Goodbye?
Ooh, that's a good choice,
too. Which they always sing to players that get kicked out or whatever.
Especially when the pitchers are being thrown off the mat and being replaced and stuff. Yeah, nope.
Nope,
not in the top 10.
Who let the dogs out?
No, Lisa. No.
Seems like that would fit this list, though.
It sure would.
It would, but it's not in the top 10.
All right, number 1.
Number 1's an oldie, but a goodie.
Okay.
Sorry, well, actually, it's not a goodie. It's just an oldie.
Okay.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Of course.
Oh, boo. Well,
number 1
sports song
of all time.
Certainly part of the baseball experience, of course.
It was a pretty cool song, don't you think?
No, I do not.
Not really.
Kind of a...
It's just not good.
No. Let's all play everything all at once. What do you say? I just got my wish. Today's celebrity birthdays. William H. Macy is 58 years old. Today, actress Dana Delaney is 52. You guys ever seen Tombstone?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I don't think so. I heard it was great,
though. Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell? You would love that movie.
Yeah,
great
heard,
movie.
That's what everyone tells me.
Yeah, she's in that. She plays an actress who wanders into Tombstone to give a performance, and she falls in love with Wyatt Earp, who's Kurt Russell, the sheriff in that.
That can happen.
She looks diabolically hot in that. Bassist Adam Clayton. From U2, he's 48 years old today, and Danny Masterson, from That 70 Show, turns 30. Wait a minute. Adam Clayton's 48. Danny Masterson is 32. Okay. And Common turns 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I have to be honest when I tell you, Kevin, that I am shocked that you are not in Austin this week. This
I
has
know.
Everything you love. How can
I
you
know.
Not be at South by Southwest? It has your name on it.
I know. I thought for a couple of weeks, I got to go to South by Southwest this year. I've got to.
It's one of these things like Mardi Gras, New Orleans, that you have to figure out a way to go to once in a while just because it's so great, right?
Well, Austin is one of these cities that has amazing bars, a great little like small downtown area, so you can walk from one to the next in 5 seconds.
Yeah,
and they're great
cool.
bands. They have good stages and stuff. It's really a cool thing. And it's about a 4-day festival, all new music. And there are some established artists that go there, too. And last year, I was watching it on DirecTV. They did a bunch of live coverage, and Matt Pinfield was the host. And I believe he's back this year. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, guys. Kevin Dean, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. It's been a long time since I've spoken to you.
Yes, it has.
Whenever I'm out in L.A., I definitely check you guys out. So
we appreciate that. Matt, of course, we all fell in love with back in the glory days of MTV as the host of 120 Minutes, and it seems like you've never left TV since. You're always doing something. You pop up in the weirdest places, but this DirecTV gig sounds like it's right up your alley.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I started it last year. It was the first time they did the DirecTV South by Southwest Live, and it's cool. It's literally, we're on the air for 8 hours straight a day with eight artists each day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it's on the 101 on DirecTV, and it's great. I love it because not only are we seeing great music, but we interview people that are everything from, you know, producers to artists, to journalists, to people that are down here and get a real vibe of what's happening. I mean, there's 1,000 bands playing this week, so it's
a thousand.
There's 1,000 artists playing at South by Southwest.
That's insane.
And where are most of them from? Are they from all over?
They're from all over the world. I mean, there's actually showcases. There'll be like a Japanese showcase. There'll be an Australian one. There's, you know, and there's everything from like tons of alternative and indie stuff to, you know, there's metal stuff, singer songwriters, alt country and Americana. It's you know, anything you like is here. And last year, you know, you have established artists, people like Pete Townsend, but then you'll also have, like in past years, like, you know, Franz Ferdinand doing one of their biggest shows here, Black Party. Or, you know, it's always really exciting down here.
And Matt, I also noticed last year that it seems like this is one of those situations where there are a lot of artists. who love to go to this festival and get up on stage with other artists.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's, you know, I mean, truly, when you know, last year, whether it was, you know, the Kooks or, you know, I mean, there's always. I'm just using that as an example. People will get on stage and then somebody cool from an old band will come up, like X are playing actually, and X are going to be the great Los Angeles punk band. They're going to be playing this festival on our stage as well on Friday night. But you know, they people always bring up someone else, someone either old they love or another new artist, and it's really cool. There's a lot of jamming, a lot of impromptu stuff. You know, cool covers, and you know, it's just an excitement. Like you hit it on the head. It is like Mardi Gras, like the French Quarter on Sixth Street. You just see all the bars, all the venues, and there's just people walking up and down day and night, and the vibe is incredible.
It is. It's not cool. Just. And when you think bars, you think of some of the bars in Southern California. It's not like that at all. They're built for live music. They're pretty big, and they got a great stage and great sound, and it's really an amazing place.
Yeah, I mean, Austin really. When people say it's the music capital of the world. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're that far off. I think it's really true because the place is all about music. I mean, they even have local channels on cable that are just, like, you know, literally about the Austin music scene. I mean, they've taken over, like, three channels just for locally for South by Southwest. In the different hotels, you see all kinds of people showcase. But at every airport, I think, guys, this week that had a flight to Austin, you'd see tons of bands, tons of, like, indie rock bands,
yep,
and alternative rock bands there. It's really, it's a great time. I suggest anybody who can get down here. And, Kevin, Bean, you guys should try to come here and do your show from here next year.
I would so love that.
We should. I know. And by the way, University of Texas is there, and I can't say I've ever visited a city in my life that has more unbelievably hot college chicks than Austin, Texas.
Oh, they're incredible. And by the way, they are walking up and down the streets of Austin. So, yeah, there's a lot of love and a lot of music here. There's a lot of things to be had while you're down here.
I don't want this to be insulting, but I did find myself looking right past you out into the street because people were walking by. I was like, wow, look at that. Hey, whoa, turn around, Matt, turn around.
I don't blame you. No offense, Matt, but could you get out of that shot?
Now, let me ask you this. Matt Pinfield is on the phone. We're talking about the South by Southwest live coverage on DirecTV on this this awesome channel 101, by the way, which people may not think to go to sometimes, but this is the channel that has really been coming on for DirecTV in the last couple of years with more and more original programming all the time, and this is a perfect example of how they're providing their own programming. It's not something that they're getting from a network. They're making it themselves. Where do you actually broadcast from? Are you all over the place, or do you have some sort of a music central where people come to you, Matt?
Yeah, what we do there is, I mean, it's really cool what they ended up doing because South by Southwest, DirecTV, and this company, Blaze TV, they decided to make this deal where, since there's so many venues and so many bands come from all over the world here to play, that in the convention center where they ended up, you know, where, you know, at any convention people go and get their badges, they had these big empty spaces. So what they did was they built two makeshift stages that are temporary, one called the Bat Bar and one called the Lone Star Lounge. And we actually have bands that are playing the festival play in there as well. And we give the tickets away for free on the streets of Austin, and we fill the place, and it, you know, people that are in town, they have their, one of their favorite new bands or old bands is playing on the 101 for this. We rotate the bands back to back, so they go on alternate stages, and I am basically right on 6th Street and Trinity in the center of it all. We built a booth right there, so that, you know, when you see everybody coming by, that's really the center of the town, so it's a really great place to be.
Now, I have to ask, I'm actually a fan of this band, and I'm not ashamed to say it, but I have to ask what the deal is with Hanson being one of the bands whose concert you'll be playing tonight on 101.
Well, you know, I mean, they became an indie band, and believe it or not, they still have a big following. You got to remember, this festival and the thing they do on DirecTV, they make it very diverse. Like, you'll get country artists like Deanna Carter, you know, and then you'll also have, like, Daniel Lanois or, like, hip-hop guys like Dizzy Rascal, you know what I mean, things like that. You'll have, you know, newer English bands like Sons and Daughters from Glasgow and the Noisettes, and last year, you know, it was Peter Bjorn and John and bands like Crack and Smack who are, like, a drum and bass thing. It's very diverse. Like, Lemonheads are playing this year, X. So it's all over the place. It's, like, all country. Daryl Hall played last night and was doing a bunch of Hall & Oates stuff and, you know, doing some Animals covers. It was pretty cool.
I'll tell you, Matt, I was watching last year, like I said, and I was not I was glad that I was not the one behind the microphone because it is so frenetic, and then there can be a long pause, and then they'll bring in a band I've never heard of. I'm sure you have, but you know, you have to interview so many different bands about different things, and you somehow keep it all straight.
Well, you know, guys, I mean, luckily, like yourselves, I've been in radio a long time. And, you know, I just have to mention this. Andy Schoen, who actually, you know, one of my heroes, who worked at K-Rock and actually got you guys together.
He's the guy that hired us.
He hired us.
And I love Andy, you know. And you know, through the years of doing MTV, VH1, and USA Network Farm Club, and then I did Radio New Jersey, the station down there, way before MTV, and then years of doing this stuff, I just got used to it. I mean, even this summer, I did MySpace, did a 7-hour live broadcast with Linkin Park, My Chemical Romance, Placebo,
right.
And I hosted that thing and anchored the whole thing. And you get used to doing the live thing, you guys know. And what you have to be ready for is, say some of the cameras go down or the band's not coming on time or the sound drops. I mean, you just have to roll with it, as you know. And, you know, I love doing it, even though you guys would die. I mean, I'm literally working, like now, 9 in the morning out here till midnight.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be working all day, and then we go live for 8 hours. And I'm sitting, I am right there in that spot for 8 hours, 3 days straight.
But, so if you have DirecTV, wow. It's 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock West Coast time.
Right, it's going to be great. It's so good to talk to you guys. It's been a long
yeah,
time.
You too. So 8 hours today, 8 hours tomorrow, 8 hours Sunday. And by the way, then at 10 o'clock at the end of the broadcast day for Matt, then they kind of replay the stuff overnight too. So you do have plenty of chances to catch it.
Absolutely, guys. For those people who like either get up in the morning and watch TV, work different shifts, or you're up on the overnight, it rebroadcasts. So literally, you might get a little sick of me, but I'm on a camera on and off for 72 hours. So I'll try and keep the glare down, and you know, we'll hang. But listen, you guys got to come out here next year.
Oh, I would love
really
that.
Great.
Well, yeah. DirecTV, Channel 101, check it out all weekend long. Matt Pinfield live from the South by Southwest. I'm only terrified this year for the first time, Matt, to see what you look like in high def. That's my only concern.
Well,
I got to be honest.
I got to tell you guys, I just finished the show I was doing for 2.5 years for Mark Cuban's channel, HDNet, called Sound Off with Matt Pinfield. And I was in high def there, which was, hey, you know, it was an outlet for me, so, you know, it is kind of crazy. You might get some bad angles on me, and it's a little scary. You can see the hair in your nose and your ears.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I miss one, like, alfalfa hair on top, you're going to see it.
But it's okay, because there's hot women walking behind you, so no one's watching.
And they're in high def, too,
yeah,
right?
So that's good.
And that's the good thing, so it'll definitely be cool. Hey, guys, really, it's been a pleasure to talk
Thank you, Matt.
To you.
Tell Thanks, Matt.
Tell Stryker and Jed for me, too.
We will.
You bet, dude. See you later.
Thank
Great
you, man.
To you.
Bye now. Hang on. Thanks for that info, Bean. 33 more minutes till my pot pie gets done.
Hey, I'm just
okay.
saying.
I don't think I'll
Why
be
do we
able
care?
I don't think
I'm
I'll
just
be
really
able
hungry.
To,
it's the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ 106.7 KROQ. Smashing Pumpkins on the way. Also, Linkin Park. Joanne McNeil had no idea what to name her third child until she spotted a Lexus SUV parked at the local McDonald's. She'd been toying with names like Alexis and Alexa, but her eureka moment came when she saw the luxury vehicle she pulled up to the drive-thru. She named her daughter, who is now almost 16 months old, Lexus, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not quite as bad as some of the kids named after products. I don't understand this at all.
I
really don't. I mean, people name their kids after cities that they were in when they were conceived sometimes. So, you know, you'll get a Denver or a, you know, San Antonio.
Sure.
I'm probably not kid after San Antonio. But
I think one of Michael Jackson's kids is named Paris for that reason, isn't it? Isn't that where they came up with the name?
I don't know.
Is that where they did the test tube?
Sure could have been.
That's Beckham's kids, right? Aren't they like Brooklyn and London or something for that same reason?
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. Yeah.
I have a niece named Camry, but it's spelled differently.
Camry?
Yeah,
because that's where she was conceived.
No, I don't think so.
What was the name? Was the name suggested by the car, though? Is that where the parents thought of it?
You know, they
was because of the car.
They say no, but you gotta wonder because it's such a popular car.
In the 2000 census, which was the last one, in case you're interested, there were 269 girls named Chanel. There were 24 girls named Portia, which, by the way, seems way low to me because I've met lots of strippers named Portia.
But those also. They double as names, kind of.
They
you know
do
what I mean?
Now.
Like you think
they do now,
of,
but yeah. But there was a guy who said, "I'm going to name my kid Porsche after the car." Now you're kind of used to it because it's been around a while. There are 273 boys in the 2000 U.S. Census and 298 girls, all who have the name Armani, for instance.
Oh, that's weird.
Wow.
Parents name their children after everything from Evian, bottled water, to Fanta, the soft drink, to Stetson, the Western hat.
Wait a minute. Who named
Chardonnay?
Fanta after the soda.
Guinness is another name that shows up in 2000.
That's worth it.
Named after the beer. And didn't you have a story that just a new one just this week,
yeah,
right?
Well, Matthew McConaughey, his girlfriend is pregnant, his Brazilian girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in 2006, Matthew McConaughey was on Conan O'Brien, and he was talking about his older brother, who had named his son, I'm not joking, Miller Lite. Now, the middle name, Lite, was spelled L-Y-T-E, but he named it after Miller Lite because that's his favorite drink.
Oh,
okay.
That's not good.
Yeah. Really? I mean,
that's
you
embarrassing.
Might, you might love Miller Lite. That's fine.
It's a beer.
Doesn't
you
need to be your kid's
after
name.
A beer. Miller what do you? Light. What are your hopes for him?
I don't know. Just drunkenness.
Yeah.
My hope is that the parents have twins that they name Taste Great and Less Filling. I hope that's what happens next. That'd be the best.
Why would parents do that? Really? I mean, Miller Lite. I guess Miller makes sense for a
Miller's
kid.
Miller's a cool name.
Or son.
That would be
Miller's
okay.
Actually a pretty good first name, I think.
But then he's going to have to
what's your
tell
middle name?
Middle name.
Light? No, seriously, what's your middle name? Light!
But how often really does your middle name ever get used, ever?
Look,
only when your mom is mad
up,
at you. That's
you're
it.
You're mocked for life.
Right. When your parents are mad at you, that's what, yes. And then when your friends find out about it, they'll never let you live it down.
Right.
That's the problem.
They've talked to experts on this topic, and they've asked what makes people do this. And you'll notice that most of the names that we described are high-end type things, like Alexis or something. You're not going to see very many kids named, you know, Honda, you know, or whatever.
Hugo.
Or Hugo.
Right? Hugo.
And they think that it's because you're just trying to, you know, project upwardly mobile feelings, basically. You're trying to aspire to something. That's why you would name your kid, you know, Tiffany or Cartier or something
right,
like that.
Right, but it's a product. I mean, especially I mean, Miller Lite. That's not high-end.
Well, I don't get that one. I can't.
Name him Courvoisier.
There are lots of Courvoisiers, by the way. That's another one of the names that comes up a bunch. Yeah.
How would you
let's talk to Melissa in San Clemente. Good morning, Melissa.
Hi, good morning.
Your friend named their kid what?
Maserati.
Oh, my God.
How old is the kid now?
I think he's 10.
Okay, so he's been beaten up already for that.
Yeah. Pretty much.
What kind of conversation do you think friends and family had with the mom who wanted to name their kid Maserati? You think she had a lot of people try to talk her out of it?
I'm pretty sure. They call him Mozzie, so it's kind of just like a conversation starter. Like, why Mozzie? And they're like, oh, Maserati, I really like the car.
Yeah.
But
wow.
I'm pretty sure they try to convince her not to.
That's a really bad explanation.
Like, yeah. I know, but it's a really great conversation starter. I mean, I know when I first heard it, I was like,
right.
Maserati, really?
It is a good conversation starter, but then you end up wanting to punch him in the face, so that's not a good conversation.
Right.
I know, but you know what? At the very least, it's a great car to be named after.
If you have to be named after a car, I guess so.
Melissa is under the spell now.
She is.
Yeah.
All right. Honestly, for some reason, and this is a broad stereotype generalization. I got nothing to back this up on. Any family that names a kid Maserati is a family that's never going to be able to afford a Maserati.
That is exactly what I said.
Yeah, that's true.
That's exactly what I said. If you can't afford the car, you got to name your kid after the car.
That's true.
Right. Thank you for the call. We're going to take more calls, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067 if you know or even better have a kid named after a product. How about our little friend Atari Bigby, for instance? 22-year-old junior at the University of Central Florida said that in elementary school, he got a lot of teasing about his name. He's named Atari, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
That's so
it's like
futuristic.
Naming your kid PlayStation 3. You know? Xbox 360, get over here.
I'm shocked that you didn't, by the way. I'm shocked
you.
That you don't. Here's my little girl, Guitar Hero 2.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take some more next. So I'm out with my friend's kids the other night, Magnum and Pocket Rocket, and
oh, no.
Kevin and Bean Show, 744. Why do people name their kids after products? That's not good.
I think there are a lot of reasons. We're taking some calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you've done it or have a name or know someone with a name, we want to hear about it. I just got an email from Audi, for instance, who was named after the car and has grown up to drive an Audi. So I guess he could drive nothing else. I guess he's got no choice at that point.
Yeah. Let's go to Angela, who is calling from Long Beach. Good morning, Angela.
Hey.
I guess this one kind of makes sense. Go ahead.
My son is named Harley because his dad, he's studying to be a Harley mechanic. When we found out we were having a boy, there was no question.
Had to name him Harley.
Harley's yeah. kind yeah. of a cool
Harley
name.
Harley kind of has – some of these names have been around enough that they kind of work themselves into a name by themselves
yeah,
without the product.
Don't think about it.
He owns it, too. I mean, you look at him and he's like, he's a Harley.
Oh, the kid strikes you as a Harley?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
He owns it. He's just, you know.
Okay.
He's only four, but, you know, he owns the name. So
okay.
I'm like, cool.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks for the call. I read an article on this topic that said that, and I didn't realize this, that Tiffany, which I think you'd agree is a pretty common girl's
sure,
name.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Is exactly what this was. It was named after the Tiffany stores. It was not a girl's name. It was not used as a name until the store came around and made it such a high-end popular product. And then people, just like we're talking about, wanted to aspire to that level of sophistication. That's how the name Tiffany got started.
Let's go to Letitia in Santa Ana. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have a friend at work. He named his daughter Chevrolet.
Chevrolet.
Yes, I guess he likes the Chevys a lot. The old.
I guess
Chevy
so.
Cars.
Yeah.
So, and she's only 4 years old. Can you imagine what she's going to think when she gets older?
Oh, Chevrolet. That's not even close to a human being's name.
I know.
What do they call her? Do they call her Chevy?
For short.
Chevy. That's no better. Yes.
It's no
Chevy
better at all.
Or Chevrolet. Wow. I know. I thought, why would you name your daughter like that? He's like, well, I like the car, and you know, and
look,
I
people. Can't you like the car and still come up with a kid's name?
I would think.
Know.
How uncreative are you, for God's sakes? Let's see. I need a name for a kid. I do like Chevy cars. Can't get past that. What the hell?
Even Chevy would be better than Chevrolet.
Barely. Charles and Brea, good morning.
Hey, guys. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Charles.
Charles already drunk this morning. Good to hear.
Yeah, I'm on my way to work. Gonna be drunk. Listen, my friends named their kid Braden Dodger.
Dodger, after the Dodgers?
Yep.
His middle name is Dodger. I'd be willing to bet if you did a search, I bet there are a lot of kids in this country who have sports-related names, who have,
sure,
you know, Eagles is the middle name, or Cardinals, or whatever your team is. I bet that's pretty common.
But at least this person hid it in the middle name.
Yeah, I think that's
right.
Okay.
Dodger.
You can kind of do what you want with the middle name.
I guess.
It came about because while he was in the womb, he went to the Dodger game when the Dodgers came back with four home runs in the ninth inning.
Well, then what's he going to do?
I remember that game. Yeah.
What's he going to
do? Yeah, he's got no choice at that point. I mean, he has to.
Thank you, Charles.
When we adopt a little Big Gulp from Africa, I got to tell you, I can't wait to spend time with him. He's going to be awesome.
I'm really tired today because AIS didn't sleep through the night, and that makes it really hard. Let's go to Tiffany in Riverside. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning. How are you?
We are good.
Good.
People who name their kids after products.
Oh, my gosh. One of my girlfriends, listen to this. She has two kids. They're both twins. She named...
They're both twins? Not just one of them?
What was that?
Nothing. Go ahead. They named them?
They named them. They named the little boy. His name is Ford Theodore Van. If you say it fast, it sounds like Ford three-door van.
No.
Did they do that on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, so it sounds like Ford three-door van?
How much can you like a Ford three-door van, by the way?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's a specific model, even. Even if you like Ford, how do you narrow in on a van?
Well, that's not the worst part.
How can it not be the worst part?
Her daughter is named Allison Wonder Van.
No way!
I'm not joking.
Those people.
They're going for comedy because Van's
ridiculous.
Their last name. That's what
right.
it is.
That's what they're doing. They're using the Van last name exactly.
Wow.
Thanks for the call, I guess.
Well, yeah, stop it, people. Stop it.
It says Cilicia, but I suspect it's Cecilia on line two. I could be wrong about that.
Celica?
It's Celica, like the car.
Celica!
Oh, no.
Yes.
It's,
yes.
Come
really?
On. I thought people named it after high-end stuff.
Jesus, at least I have a friend named Mercedes. Can you at least name me that?
Well, Mercedes is at least a stripper name. At least you got that going. But Celica.
I have another friend named Alize, so boy, did we get teased. Don't drink and drive.
Wow.
Let me drive behind your trunk.
Why do parents not... What is it about parents that when they get older, they don't realize their kids are going to get beaten up?
No kidding.
I know. Hey, wait a minute. I never got beat up, but...
You should have.
I wish I could drive behind your... I wish I could get behind your trunk.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
So, have you learned to love and embrace your name, or do you hate being named Celica?
No, I learned to love it and embrace it. I'm 24. When I turned 16, my dad bought me a 1983 Toyota Celica, so I did not only have the wacky name, but I had to drive a bucket in high school. So, guys would be on the freeway, what's your name? What's your name? Look behind my car! Look behind my car!
Hey,
because it has a Celica.
I like that they named her Celica, and then they followed through on the theme and got her a Celica.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for getting me a nice 1983, because I was born on that year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good. Your dad blows.
It's a theme family.
Thank you, Celica.
I think this would be a good point to say, and I think this is the new motto of the Kevin and Bean Show. People, just stop it.
Stop it.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Ralph is here with the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. Ralph, what the hell are people talking about?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got some very exciting news. You may remember a few weeks ago I mentioned
the on sale for the William Paley Television Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
This is the thing they do every year. It used to be the Museum of Television Radio. Now they're renamed as the Paley Center for Media. And every year they do the William S. Paley Television Festival, where they have an entire evening dedicated to the cast and creators of some of your favorite TV shows. This year it's Pushing Daisies, An Evening with Judge Apatow, Chuck, Friday Night Lights, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer reunion, which is going to be an amazing night, Gossip Girl, Damages, Dirty Sexy Money, Mad Men, and it kicks off this weekend. March 14th is the first night. They've given me pairs of tickets to give away to all of those events.
That's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So tomorrow night is Pushing Daisies to kick off the festival. Pushing Daisies, the cast and crew of that show. I don't know if you guys are watching Pushing Daisies over there on ABC.
Yeah, I like that show.
But it is a great show.
Is it
very
good?
Entertaining.
I haven't had time to...
Lee Pace stars as Ned, a pie maker, who has the ability to bring people back to life just by touching them for a minute.
Did you say he's a pie maker?
He's a pie maker.
He has a pie shop.
Okay. And he brings people back to life for a minute.
For 1 minute?
1 minute. If he lets he doesn't have to be a minute, but if he lasts longer than a minute, somebody else dies in their place.
Can you pick who it is?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh,
it just happens randomly.
All right.
So he and a private investigator go into business of... reviving murder victims, asking them who killed them, and then hunting down that person and turning them into the police for the reward. That's how they make their money.
The pie maker.
The pie maker and the private eye.
Okay.
And his childhood sweetheart, he brought her back to life, but he doesn't want to kill her.
So right.
He let her live. Someone else died in her place, but he can't touch her or else she dies again. So he's in love with a girl he can't kiss or hold hands with.
What's the point of bringing her back?
True love.
You can't touch that.
To blave. True love.
You can't touch that.
You can't touch it. That's right. Anyway, it's a very entertaining show. Very quirky, very sort of odd, but at the same time, very entertaining. If you're a fan of this show, here's a little trivia question. If you get the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067, first two people who call in with the correct answer get a pair of tickets to go spend the evening with the cast and crew of Pushing Daisies over at the Arclight Cinemas. That's where they're doing it, which is a great place.
It is.
Lee Pace stars as Ned in the show, the pie maker.
Yes.
It's true. He does. Yes. Lee Pace got his big break on television in another... quirky, wonderful show that aired on Fox in 2004.
True.
But it was short-lived. It didn't last very long. One of Bean's favorite shows, and it went away very quickly. So if you know the answer, call now 1-800-520-1067. First two people get through with the correct answer are going to see An Evening with Pushing Daisies, thanks to the Paley Center for Media. Let's talk about the Britney Spears, shall we?
Yeah.
She's got a new music video coming out. Break the Ice, it's called.
What was that?
But here's the problem. Let's say you've got her as your artist, and you have to produce a video for her.
Right.
How do you get a crazy, nut job, puffy, bloated, white trash, legal embroiled Britney Spears on the set to make a video?
Who has no problem showing up 12 hours late for
if
stuff.
If at all.
Yeah, if at all.
You animate her. And that's what they're going to do. Break the Ice will feature a animated, futuristic superhero Britney Spears.
I hope... hot.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
Look,
boobies! 5 years ago.
Britney. The comic book and cartoon artists of the world, they always draw hot chicks.
Yeah, they should.
That's their only way to get near women, is the ones that they create in their minds. So you can almost always guarantee that. Do we have an answer to my...
that out.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question already?
We do. We have Kelly in Monrovia. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Kelly. You a fan of Pushing Daisies?
I sure am.
Well, Lee Pace, who plays Ned on that show, got his TV break on what other quirky TV series?
Wonderfalls.
Wonderfalls is right.
Yay!
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All
right. Hold on.
Thanks. Bean, you loved that show, didn't you?
Carolyn Deverness, one of my all-time TV crushes, but she doesn't work much in English. She mostly just does French stuff, so
yeah.
It's kind of a drag, but I love her so much.
Freaking French.
She's so awesome.
The damn Frenchness.
French.
Here's the nice thing about being a rich and famous TV star. Once in a while, you get to do something cool.
Yeah.
For example, Patrick Dempsey, his mother, Amanda, was diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
That is cool.
No, that's not.
That's not the cool part.
Oh, I'm guessing that's not the cool part.
And she went to be treated at the Central Maine Medical Center. And
die.
No, live.
They
cured her.
They did?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's a tough cancer to cure.
It's a tough cancer to beat, but they did it. And Patrick was so grateful to the Central Maine Medical Center. He donated $250,000 to open a new cancer center there at the facility.
How about that?
The New York Post reports that the center will be called the Patrick Dempsey Center for Cancer Hope and Healing. And it's just his small way, Patrick says, of repaying the the staff there for what they did for his mom and saving her life.
It's great.
That's nice.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I think it's kind of sad. Him being a doctor, he couldn't do anything. You think he would have pitched in and helped out somehow?
I'd say
he should have gotten there. He should have rolled up his sleeves.
He's a brain surgeon.
Put on his stethoscope.
Hey guys, it's just a TV show.
Knocked out a little cancer.
He had brain surgery. I mean, brain cancer.
But he knows everybody at the hospital, right? He's banging half the people there. Couldn't somebody step up?
But you want to go to the best place.
Help his mom?
It's just a TV show, guys.
What?
Dr. McSucky or whatever he is.
Yeah.
Dreamy.
Dr. McSucky. And this is news you don't need to hear.
Okay.
But you're going to tell us anyway?
I'm going to tell you anyway. Star Magazine reports that Tom Hanks likes to walk around naked.
Oh.
He tells Star Magazine that he often strips naked and walks around hotel rooms because he claims it's as close as I can get to a feeling of anonymity and power.
That was TMTH.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're losing Tom.
So he walks around in his hotel room naked.
Because it's the only place he can feel anonymous and powerful when he's nude in a hotel room.
I don't understand.
Cojones.
Okay.
Then room service shows up and he's like, hello? This is why they call the movie Big. Boing.
Wow.
Thank you, Rodney. And Charlie Sheen is being added to the list of celebrity underwear models.
What's with the poll?
Life and Style Weekly magazine reports that he is signed on to be the new face. Celebrity face of Hanes.
You know,
they got all those commercials with the celebrities?
Sure.
Kevin Bacon did one. Michael Jordan did one. Cuba Gooding Jr. has been in one. Jennifer Love Hewitt. And now Charlie Sheen will be the guy who says, look who we've got our Hanes on now. Or whatever that slogan is. I don't know if I want to see Charlie Sheen in his underwear either.
I don't know.
I don't want to see Tom Hanks naked. I don't want to see Charlie Sheen in his underwear.
I don't want to see any of that.
A penis, when seen in the right context, is the most wonderful sight for a woman, but in the wrong context, it is like a monster movie.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
I like meat.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor William H. Macy is 58 years old today. Actress Dana Delaney turns 52. Adam Clayton of U2 is 48 years old today. Didn't you have a run-in with Adam Clayton, the bassist of U2, once, Kevin Ryder of the Kevin and Bean Show? Didn't you once you sit next to, same-said Adam Clayton at a Grammy event?
I snuck up front, sat next to Adam, and I said, hey, Larry. How's it going?
Oh, my God.
And he said, not Larry. And I said, okay, I'll be going now.
Because Larry Mullen, of course, another member of the band.
Yeah, it's not the same guy.
You called him that.
Turns out it's not
Kevin's
the same,
defense,
same
there
person.
Are four names to remember in YouTube.
That's true. How do you keep it separate?
Two of them are one word. So, really.
Remember the time he called McCartney Ringo? That was embarrassing, too.
That wasn't me. That was Larry King. That was Larry King. That was not me.
Nice work, Kevin.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Danny Masterson from That 70s Show is 32, and Common. Turned 63 years old.
Wow, he's old.
Looks
he
good,
looks good,
doesn't he?
He does.
I meant to say 36. Dyslexia is a bitch. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, guy who plays music can't make a living, Kevin? That's what you're saying? You're down on the man? What's up here?
This just strikes me as a bad plan. This clients paying singers to add their product into the song, into the lyrics. Doesn't
mixing
that seem
art and commerce?
Yeah, doesn't that seem like a bad plan? Don't you want
so
your
if a
art
guy's
to be separate?
But if a guy writes a song where, I mean, I don't really care. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. But if a guy writes a song where he talks about having a happy meal from McDonald's and you hear that on the radio and he didn't get paid for it, doesn't bother you.
That's
if
right.
If he did get paid for it, all of a sudden it's somehow bad and evil, even though it's the exact same song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably because he didn't write the song with that in it unless he was going to get paid for it.
I have a few examples. P.D. Pablo sings about Seagram's gin, but at least he just lays it out there as what it is.
Now I gotta give a shout out to Seagram's gin, because I drink it and they paying me for it.
I like that.
That's the way to go.
Seagram's gin.
Brought to you by my fine sponsor.
They're paying for it and I like it.
All right, that I love. That's fantastic.
Sean Combs, P. Diddy. Collaborated with Busta Rhymes and Pharrell on a song called Pass the Crevassier. It doesn't matter to you that Crevassier paid for that? It doesn't bug you at all?
Not a bit. And by the way, sales through the roof of the Crevassier after that song became a big hit, too. It's not like people were holding it against him because he cut a deal with them. That's for sure.
Fergie apparently has received a deal worth $3.5 million. This has to be one of the biggest, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's Candies,
the mm-hmm. brand Candies. Mm-hmm. And
shoe company. Right? Shoe company. Shoes and clothing, right.
And she also does, well... Shame, I still go to Taco Bell, drive through Ross Hill, I don't care. Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, sure, yeah.
You know what
look
I
her
want?
Ass, you can tell.
You know what I want? I just want, I just want the art and the commerce to remain separate. It seems once they start intermingling, you know, like on Monday Night Football, I have the same problem with the whatever Seagram's Gin replay of the last.
Well, that's a losing.
There's got to be some kind of a line between the two, don't you think?
Well, there's a guy who might beg to differ. It's a new company called Lyrics Marketing that's based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And the guy behind this who is trying to hook singer-songwriters together with product placement that make some money for both sides is on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you.
So you probably, as you've been putting your company together here, Mike, in the early going here, you probably run into a lot of people who say the same thing as Kevin does, which is it just kind of gives them an icky feeling because one is art and one is commerce, right?
We do get that. And the interesting part about it is that television and film has been doing it for quite a while, too. Kevin,
yeah.
I heard the points that you were bringing up, and they're valid for people who are purists. But I would tell you that virtually any TV show that you turn on or any film that you go see has product placement in it. And so people have been doing it for years. What we're looking to do is try to bring this into song lyrics because of the three entertainment vehicles. Music is the one that's been dying as far as commerce goes because people are, you know, downloading songs off LimeWire or friends will burn a CD for somebody else, whereas in TV and film, that's not the case. And interestingly enough, as you bring it up, you know, we've been talking about it here. We get so many people who will just either call us or email us and just drop us, hey, have you thought about this one? You know, anything from Take Me Out to the Ball Game, where we've been singing about Cracker Jacks for years and years and years, to one of Bean's favorites, because I know, Bean, you're a big Christmas song guy. In Santa Baby, there's a line in there that says, come and trim my Christmas tree with decorations from Tiffany. And that's
right.
Been also for decades.
Right, so
it, sure. It has been going on, and what we're trying to do is just make it so that the marketers and the singer-songwriters actually do it with a theme in mind and with the idea of being able to bring these products to light and do it in a way where people can actually benefit.
I think, though, like a TV show or a movie, they can do it really poorly. And if they do, it stands out and it kind of ruins it. I mean, it can ruin – if you're listening to a song and you're just thinking, this person is just being paid to try and sell me a product – I don't know. It just seems like...
Well, I think it's a lot different, a song like Pass the Crevassier, which clearly is like the whole song is an ad versus, you know, having Taco Bell in one line of your song. Like, how much do you have to do in your music in order to get paid for it? Can it just be like one mention?
It could be a mention, or it could be something that fits into a verse, or it could be something that's in a song title. There's a big country song out right now called International Harvester, and there was no money exchanged hands there, and that's the title of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who's the artist on that song, Mike?
Craig Morgan.
Okay, so Craig Morgan did that song for free, and now that your idea is out there and you're up and running for business, is he hitting himself in the forehead and going, I'm an idiot. I could have made so much extra money off the song that I was going to write and record anyway if I just cut a deal with International Harvester before I did it?
Probably so. And in fact, I mean, you and I go back a long way, Bean. Back in the 1970s, remember a song by Sammy Johns called Chevy Van?
Sure.
That, I mean, same
and, which they use in their commercials sometimes, even now. They still use that as a commercial for Chevy vans.
But they didn't pay him for that originally, right? That wasn't around then.
No money for that. No money for Pink Cadillac. No money for the Cuervo Gold mentions in Steely Dan's Hey 19. I mean, they go on and on and on. And so what we're looking to do is just say, hey, advertisers are looking for ways to be able to take their message to people because there's so many commercials and there's so many different ways to try to be able to reach people. Rather than just do it in a way where they put yet another commercial out there, what we're looking to do is say, look, you're doing product placement in film and television anyway. Here's a mm-hmm. way to take it to people in a way that hopefully will never get into the whole piece of the creativity. You know, that's what everybody says is, let's not mess up the creativity. And in our case, what we're specifically looking to do is go to advertisers and go to songwriters and say, look, we only want to do this in a way where it's going to feel right, where it's not going to jeopardize the creative product, where everybody can say, okay, I was going to write this song lyric anyway that said, sitting under a shady tree having an ice cold blank, And if it was going to be beer, then let's put Bud in it. If Bud doesn't want it, let's put Coors in it. If beers don't want it, let's put Coca-Cola in there. Something that won't mess up the creative product so that, Kevin, to your point, when people listen to the song, it doesn't feel like that was just shoved in there.
Here's the problem, though. That's a perfect world. And the people who do that the best will get away with it. But then there's also all of the crappy people who do it really poorly. I mean, really just stands out
and
as...
Kevin, you think there's going to be some lousy band is going to be knocking down Mike's door saying, ooh, let me record a song about the new Ford Escort because
yes.
I want to make some money off of it.
Yes.
And the song will only exist as a way to write a commercial is
yes.
what your fear is.
Yes, yes.
And you're right, Kevin. And in a perfect world, that is the case. And hopefully what we're going to do is we're going to be a little bit of the police at the door saying, you know, we're all in this to make money, but we do have the long range and the short range goal of this. If in the short term what we end up doing is taking any deal that comes along, you know, sticking Heineken or Cristal in a country song or something that just doesn't fit, then this is going to be something that people wave the flag at and it's going to end really fast. So what we have to do is we have to be sharp enough and policeman enough to be able to say we're only going to team up marketers and singer-songwriters that make sense and that make it feel as though you'd never know that this was a paid placement.
Do you talk to artists after they have finished writing a song, or do you talk to an artist before they've written the song?
We talk to them before they've written a song, and we go in with them and we say, what is it that you're trying to accomplish with this project? They tell us a little bit about the feel of the song, and then at that point, when we see where the gaps are, when we see where the potential placements are, that's when we approach the advertisers and marketers and say, hey, here's an opportunity for this particular artist who's writing a song that's about this kind of a feeling, and your product fits in here nicely. Is this something that you'd be interested in?
This is the voice of Mike Krasny on the line on the world-famous Kerouac this morning. He is the president of a new company called Lyrics Marketing. The website is lyricsmarketing.com. You've been in the advertising industry for a long, long time, right, Mike?
That's correct.
Bread and butter? Okay. So you're kind of used to anytime you come up with a new idea, you deal with a lot of resistance. Have you had people already who've gotten past that resistance and have signed on to do this? Do you have your first Lyrics Marketing client yet?
We have several songwriters. I've spent some time in Nashville. If you go to the website, there's a Nashville office that we've recently opened up, and we spent some time there because it occurred to us as we were putting this together, Bean, that the two genres that make the most sense for this based on lyrics is country and hip-hop, because in country the lyrics mean so much, and in hip-hop there is already a lot of product placement in there. And we've gone to Nashville, and we've had quite a bit of success talking to songwriters who I don't even finish getting the idea out of my mouth, and they end up finishing my sentences for me. So, for example, we talked to a guy who's written a couple of hit songs for Lone Star, and he was one of those people who just couldn't wait for me to finish my sentence so that he could say, oh, I get it, so I could do it this way and that way, and I could do this and that, and had already come up with a couple of concepts that actually integrate more than just a pop. You know, he was thinking about, for example, this song in his mind that he was thinking about, this whole sort of feeling of country and sitting on the back porch and throwing a ball to your dog. And he said, you know, we could call that country time. That's sort of our feeling of country time.
Yeah.
And putting the lemonade right in it.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out. That makes my skin crawl. That's bad.
And yet,
that's
Kevin.
Come on, Mike.
And yet, Kevin, the whole concept there is that would be the time that he spends with his family and with his dog and all
I
of that.
I know the concept, but it's being...
And he's drinking country time.
And he just happens to be drinking lemonade. Oh. Because that is part of that whole mental picture.
People want to take the business out of the music business so often, I think. I mean, they really, because music is so important to us and so many people who listen to this show, you want to think that it is pure and untouched by the real world and the real world realities of trying to make a living in the 21st century. But it's almost impossible these days to separate the two. That's what I'm finding. That's why I think there's really going to be a place for something like this.
Well, and Kevin, you know, I would tell you this when you, as we tried to get your skin back to normal, is that, you know, this is also the industry that if you talk to any record label or you talk to anybody else, they're hemorrhaging money.
Oh, I know.
You know, and it's difficult to try to let the regular listeners know that the music industry is having trouble, and yet by the same token, you know, people are doing what we had suggested, you know, pirating songs off LimeWire and burning copies of CDs. Places.
I think if I were an advertiser, I would probably want to do this.
Sure.
But I'm not.
And if you're a songwriter or a record label, here's a way to be able to infuse some capital in without, again, without changing the way it would go. The key to this, again, has to be that we have to be smart enough and police ourselves enough to be able to say, yes, that line belongs in that song, or yes, this fits this. You know, if we put Budweiser and country music together, it's a natural fit. If we put Cristal and hip-hop together, it's a natural fit. It's when we get calls from advertisers who it just doesn't feel right and we're forcing the issue that we have to be smart enough to say, no, we can't do that. That just, I know we want to make money, but that just doesn't work.
We're out of time, Mike. I want to give the website again. It's lyricsmarketing.com. And as I said when I wrote about this topic on my own blog a few days ago, it's only a matter of time before you turn on the radio and hear, I was sipping on a Coke while driving my Honda Civic past the Best Buy store across the street from the Applebee's on my way to see 10,000 BC opening March 8th. I mean, that's going to happen.
That's no question. What I'm saying.
Somebody's already tried to write that song out there.
That's the point.
Well, Krasny has been our guest. Lyricsmarketing.com is the website. Mike, thanks for coming on with Kevin and Bean today. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
I was talking to my friends, the Robbins Brothers, about this. They were very upset.
So if you go to the MySpace page of Ashley Alexandra Dupree, which apparently is the hooker in New York named Kristen, who was working for the Emperor VIP Club that brought down Governor Spitzer.
Wait a minute. She's using a false name?
I know. Weird, right? Here's what it says in her little place where you put your quote. What destroys me strengthens me. And I don't know if that's new this week or if that's what's always been up there. By the way, this hooker, this Kristen, by the way, is in Psycho Mike's Friends Network. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
She is?
Yeah,
from before
bizarre.
This?
When you logged on to it, was on the cover of Drudge yesterday, her MySpace. And when you logged on to it, most people saw this profile set it private.
Right.
She was already in my network.
Are you client 10, client 8, client 7?
Good question. Huh. So it's been quite a week for Governor Spitzer, who woke up first thing Monday morning thinking it was just going to be another week on the job, you know, in Albany as the governor of New York. And now he, you know, heads into the weekend going, we got to move and we got to move fast, baby, because the new guy takes over Monday. So he stepped down yesterday, and it was really a fascinating story that we don't have much time to go into here about how he got tripped up. But basically, I guess his bank was alerted to the fact that there were all these high dollar cash payments going somewhere. And they were afraid there was some sort of fraud going on or some sort of money laundering or something like that. So the feds got a wiretap in order to kind of track that down and see what was going on with the money. And that's when they found out that it had to do with a prostitution ring and that he'd been paying this chick to have sex with him for years.
That's what he called the Emperor's Club VIP. And they said yes. And he said client 9. And they said the regular. And he said please. Or something like that. We actually got online and we found the federal wiretap. Tape. The tape has been made public.
Okay.
So we thought we would play it for you. This is the former governor now, Elliot Spitzer of New York City.
Hey, it's Lightning, and on the phone I've got Elliot. Elliot, how you doing?
Good, Lightning. How are you?
I'm good, good. I wanted to get back with you. I received an email about your auto insurance. You saved a bunch of money.
That's right, Lightning. I've been saving almost $4,300 a month.
Wow, that's pretty significant. What do you do for a living?
I'm a governor of one of the 50 states.
So tell me, what exactly happened? What got you to call AIS?
Well, Lightning, I date a lot, and sometimes my dating life brings me into some unsavory neighborhoods, so I thought it was important that my car be well-insured.
Oh, smart. So how much money do you think you saved?
So far, I've saved $80,000.
$80,000?
Which works out to be about $4,300 a month.
A month?
A month.
A month.
A month.
A month?
A month.
So what are you going to do with all this money that you've saved?
I am going to high-end call girls.
Wow, that sounds like a plan. 1-800-777-4AIS.
Lightning, I'm so happy with AIS, I'd like to make you lieutenant governor.
Well, so there you go. You got to believe Elliot. He's telling the truth. And that's not radio bogusness. Wait, I think I just made up a word.
Wow.
Well, he deserves to go to jail then for that.
Seriously. Let me start by explaining to people that we appreciate that you think of us.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
It's very cool that you see something and you think, hey, Kevin and Bean might be interested in this.
Nope, we do not.
I think
there's
that's,
no excuse to ever do that.
It's a giving, thoughtful intent. I think you mean it well.
I do too.
Okay.
Bean, on the other hand.
No, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right about that. Look, I understand if there's late-breaking news that you think somehow we're going to miss because we don't also have the internet. I understand that you might send that to us, okay? And I'm not going to come down to you too hard on that. But the thing that gets me, though, are the people Kevin, who really shouldn't be allowed to use email. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
I mean, let me give you a perfect example. Once every few months, the 42 midgets killed by a tiger story comes to us, all right, 100 times.
Right.
And the story, I mean, it's never been true. It's not a true story. It's something that somebody made up years ago. But somebody will get that for the first time today, and they'll say, oh, my God, I have to send that to everybody in my address book. Most of whom have already seen it 1,000 times.
Right, but they don't know that. I mean, they don't intend to annoy you.
Right, but what people maybe ought to do, is think, you know what? I'm not going to annoy everybody in my address book by sending this out. For instance, let me give you an example. If you're Brittiani, who emailed yesterday, this was sent by a retired Coca-Cola executive. It came from one of his engineer buddies who retired from Halliburton. If you're tired of gas prices going up, then take time to read this, please.
Oh, yes. No. We should do that. We should totally do that.
Oh. This is the old don't buy gas from Exxon and Mobil because it'll bring the oil companies to their knees, which clearly is stupid and doesn't work.
But
okay?
I don't – see, that's the thing is that I don't think they've thought through it. They think, hey, but maybe we could make a difference.
Infect everybody in your address book's computer with your stupidity. Just because you haven't thought through it doesn't mean you waste the rest of the world's time with it.
Dick Whiskey, you got a little song for us here?
Girls who send us emails about bringing down the oil companies are whores!
We also got remember the, hey, what are you going to do? Kill me with a spoon? Remember we were talking about for the last couple days?
Yeah.
Certainly, of course, yeah.
And Ralph got on the air yesterday and said, okay, stop. We've looked everywhere. I've watched 9 hours of movies. Doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. Don't tell us unless you have some kind of proof. Yesterday we got an email from a listener that said, hey, why don't you guys Google it?
Oh, my God in heaven.
Dick Whiskey?
Girls who tell us to Google the thing we've been looking for like 5 years are whores.
No kidding.
Hey, why don't you Google it?
Kiss my ass.
Why did we not think of that?
Oh, my God.
You know what? I think we need a theme song here, if you don't mind. Give me just a second to...
When people are idiot, douche, nozzle, big poo-poo heads, Kevin and me gonna tell you that you all should be dead. Yo, f*** it.
We... really hate you. You're a loser, baby. And we hate you.
Omar is fueled by hate, isn't he?
Yeah, he
Look,
is.
Here's what I'm saying.
Hey, Dick, be quiet. You're up.
Here's what I'm saying to you people. If you get the wacky set of photos about why dogs hate their owners and it's all these pictures of dogs dressed up in little outfits, if you want to chuckle to yourself and then hit delete, that's fine. Don't feel like you need to inflict that on everyone else in the world.
Here's the other problem.
There's 170 billion emails sent out every day in the world, okay? 168.5 of those are spam. Stop it. That's what I'm saying. Stop it.
Here's the other problem, if I could clarify my good friend Bean's hatred. He pays closer attention to the internet than to any 10 people.
And the news, yes.
If something happens in the news, he had the heads up and he already knew about it. And we'll come in and we'll go, hey, did you see? Yeah, I saw that 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So I think you kind of curse yourself, Bean, by being too up on stuff.
You don't have to be up on something. If you've got an email account, you've received, here's how to bring down the oil companies 1,000 times. There's just no way you haven't. And how does stupid little Brittany yesterday think, I'm the first person who ever saw this, and wow, am I going to change the world by sending this out to people?
But why is it so hard for you just to delete it?
What about Jorge?
Just like people to
don't get me started on Jorge, by the way. What about Jorge yesterday, who was furious at K-Rock because we wouldn't let him on the air with the revolutionary new topic that he wanted to talk about? And I think we are now going to give him the chance. Jorge, God damn you to hell. What's wrong with you?
Now, Kevin, Bean, good morning. Lisa.
Hi, Jorge.
Jorge called yesterday, and either the King of Mexico or Lightning or somebody took the call. And Jorge, what did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about Steak and BJ Day.
Okay, Steak and BJ Day. Okay, mm-hmm. So Lightning or whoever said, hey, Jorge, that's A, not real, B, pretty old. Jorge got angry and emailed us.
Yeah, what's that deal? I mean, it's been going around for years, the Steak and BJ Day. Oh, you know, Valentine's Day is for women. Now there's a holiday for guys. Look how funny this is. Ha, ha, ha.
You know, I just found out about it. All I'm saying is, hey, who doesn't appreciate a good steak and BJ?
Right. We're with you on that. I mean, we appreciate both.
That right. might have been funny when the joke was written in 1964, but why? Because you found out about it yesterday. Do you have to ruin everybody else's day with your stupid goddamn email forwards? Seriously, keep it to yourself. Look, other people have the internet too. They don't rely on you to tell them what the latest joke is.
Although, if you know of anyone that needs to get money out of Nigeria, I'm looking.
Oh my God, guys.
Dick Whiskey, you got a song for our friend Jorge?
Steak and BJ Day actually sounds like a pretty good idea. Shut up!
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:59.
Did you say a quarter pounder will wash like you never know?
I can't understand.
Is that what he says at the end?
I think it's in a foreign language.
Who's
I
don't... washing something with a quarter pounder?
I don't know what
That's
he
what
said.
I don't know.
I don't have any idea.
That doesn't sound likely that those are the lyrics, but we'll check them out for you. It's KROQ FM passing in Los Angeles. We're going to talk to Charles, by the way, who is the security guy in the building here at K-Rock and
Keep
a close friend of ours. Who you may have seen during American Idol last night during a Nike commercial. Our friend Charles hitting the big time with a new national Nike commercial. Couldn't be prouder of him. That's coming up on K-Rock right now. Rob's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's happening?
Speaking of AI, America does not like gay strippers to be their idols. That's what we learned last night. David Hernandez was given the boot. He was in the final, bottom three vote getters included Saisha Mercado, Christy Lee Cook, and David Hernandez, and I personally would have been happy with any one of those three going home. But it was David Hernandez.
Why not throw them all three off?
Because
Speed
the other two are
bit.
Pretty hot,
yeah.
So we might as well keep them around for eye candy at least for another week.
Yeah.
That Christy Lee Cook is just really, really, really hot.
Yeah.
But she's just dead inside. She goes to perform. She's got nothing going on in her eyes, and she's like, just like a robot. She looks like a catalog model trying to sing. She's horrible.
American Idol blows.
That's true.
How do you feel about it, though, Kevin?
That is true.
Last night, Jim Carrey was dressed up as an elephant, did some hilarious elephant comedy on the show, and
he
caught
sure
that.
Did.
And, boy, was that funny stuff.
Yeah.
And I might need a shovel over here. Because the elephants take big dumps.
And they laughed hard.
When I get into a character, it tends to stick with me for a little while.
Yeah.
When did we ever find him funny, Jim Carrey, by the way? When did that happen?
I think there was a time in the 90s when he was funny, but he's just
really?
He's gone.
Or was
wacko.
It just mass hypnosis and we just all believed it for a moment that he was? And we said, wait a minute, the emperor has no clothes?
I think it was novel at first. Like, there was no one else like him. But then
he was so wacky and energetic and wild.
But then when you see, like, movie 2 and 3 and you realize it's the same character, then you go, okay, seen that.
Yeah.
Ralph, did you even not appreciate him in the early days of his fame on In Living Color? You didn't even think then that he was a good impressionist?
His Fire Marshal Bill or whatever. He was like, who's the goofy guy at the party who just went to shut the F up? That's what I thought about him.
He made some funny faces, though, Ralph.
He did. He talked out of his ass. I mean, it was just, don't get me wrong, it was all high-quality stuff.
He did that.
I was scratching my head back then. I think now the rest of the world is just saying, yeah, maybe he's not the funniest guy in the world.
Cranky.
But having said all that, he got what he deserved in your mind because he's with Jenny McCarthy now, right?
That's
so he's
true.
Certainly paying the price.
Two painfully funny people
making faces at each other,
autistic kids together. So it all works out at the end. That's all I care about. Congratulations to our buddy Joel McHale. Joel and his beautiful wife Sarah had a little baby boy last night. So congratulations to those two kids. Joel, of course, the host of The Soup. Very funny guy.
We should have him on the show tomorrow so he can get some rest.
Yeah, really.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to.
Take a nap in the other studio. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
What did he name the kid?
No name as of yet. Name has not been announced.
Gadolf Titler.
It's not Gadolf Titler, I'm pretty sure. He's already got a very funny little boy named Eddie, which is a cool name for a kid. So I'm hoping it's Miller Lite, though.
Yeah,
that'd
be good.
I'm hoping to call his next kid.
He should call his kid
Balls.
Oh, come on. Here's an interesting story. According to the National Enquirer, and I got this from whatwouldrobdurdendo.com, the entertainment news website.
I think it's Tyler.
Are you sure?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
I am not.
Last person I'm going to for names is you, by the way.
Oh, you're talking about the Taylor Durden site that you like so much, Kevin?
That's right. Taylor Durden is
How
very
dare
funny.
You.
The National Enquirer is reporting that Mandy Moore's mom...
What?
Stacey Moore.
Wait a minute. Is she hot or are you giving Mandy the bills?
That's for Mandy. That's because I heard about Mandy.
Okay. Yeah. Stacey's got to be hot, though, too.
You'd think.
The mom's got to be hot.
I just didn't know if he knew or not. All right.
You know, the tree doesn't travel far from the acorn.
That's true. That's what they say.
Usually the tree stays right there.
It does.
It doesn't go anywhere.
A lot of times the acorn goes away, but
sometimes,
not far.
But the tree almost rarely moves.
Never moves.
Yeah. Her mom, Stacey Moore, has left her dad.
Okay.
Okay.
To move in with her lesbian lover.
Oh!
Oh, fantastic.
A tennis pro named Claudette La Liberté.
Oh, French?
Claudette La Liberté. Oh,
fantastic.
Viva La Liberté, you know what I'm saying? Yes.
It's a good story.
She's got a good forehand smash, you know what I'm saying? She likes to lob it over the net, you know what I'm saying?
Nope. No.
She's got a very fast serve, you know what I'm saying?
Plays tennis well?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Don't you understand? She's a lesbian.
They've been secretly dating since 2006, according to the story. Apparently, the affair surfaced last year after emails were discovered between the two ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And Stacey Moore, when asked, said, "It's nobody's business why we're together." Yes.
I love lesbians.
So, there you go.
Right.
You know, so, Mandy Moore's got some lesbo in her jeans. That's what I'm saying.
That's fantastic news.
Not literally, of course. No, in her DNA.
Oh! Yeah. We haven't done the phone topic in a while, but it may be
my
time
mom's
to
a lesbian?
Revisit
sure.
Partners who leave for the same sex, I think, is always a bad surprise for the one left behind.
Mm.
Is it? Or is it better? I mean, isn't it better that
I think sometimes
they're turning
it's
their back on the entire...
Because you're saying,
yeah, maybe,
you know what?
Maybe.
Nothing I could have done. Yeah, I just don't have
or
that equipment.
Or you were bad enough that they're not even going to try
them,
anyone else.
That's the thing. You
I
drove
don't.
Them into the labia of another woman.
But when you kind of feel, Kevin, if your wife left you for a woman, and by the way, who would blame her? Wouldn't you kind of feel a little bit dumb that you didn't see that coming? You know what I mean? Like, how could I have misread this
Dude.
Person that I was so close to, you know?
Dude.
I feel like that every day. You're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah, can you imagine Kevin missing a detail about someone?
Come on. Anyone, ask someone else if they would be disgusted with themselves.
His wife's lucky he remembers her name on a daily basis. The lady I wake up with every morning. What's your name again? It's very frustrating for everyone.
Do you really call the twins thing one and thing two, or is that just an urban legend?
A and B.
He makes them wear the shirts, one and two, that's for sure.
It's my anniversary today, by the way.
What?
Oh,
no kidding.
Happy anniversary.
Years? How many years? 13 years.
13 wow. years. 13 years on the 13th.
Yes.
It's got to be something lucky there.
Thursday the 13th. Unlucky day.
Yeah.
That blew the office pool wide open that you made 13 years, I'll tell you that.
Well, happy anniversary.
You've been married a long time, Mitt.
Your wife's not going to want to share a bedroom with you pretty soon come these years.
A couple years.
Soon.
Why didn't we talk to Linus about what Kevin's got planned for tonight?
Linus must be working
overtime.
How
dare you? Yeah. How dare you?
Linus is out buying flowers and candy and jewelry. Oh, you must be running him ragged today.
How dare you?
Let's play Creep. Can we play Creep? Can we sub out one of our songs for Creep later on in the hour? Because, you know, that's Kevin.
That's our song.
It's
our
song. Yeah. Song.
I don't know how
their romantic song.
Yeah.
What? You don't know the story?
Sure. It is, yeah.
That's their song.
That's our song.
Creep. Creep is their big romantic song together.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine at that wedding, just dancing, holding each other close. I'm a creep. Oh, that must have been a special moment for everyone there as they turned
weirdo.
To each other and said, "What the hell?" Yeah, good times.
It's a song about how unworthy you feel to be with your partner. That's all.
Well, certainly that's
what
applies,
it's about.
But
okay.
It's just kind of weird to have a romantic song be that.
Yeah.
What the hell am I doing here?
Did you know about the love me before not original love? The outside, not inside love?
Not so much from you.
A little TV note, a little heads up. If you are a big fan like I am of Reaper, new episode start again this evening on the CW.
I like that show.
I love that show.
Yeah, that's really good.
So new Reaper tonight. You want to catch that on?
I'm afraid of that show, Ralph.
What?
Because you're
afraid of the
Bean. Don't fear the Reaper.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Come on,
well done, Michael.
That was a setup.
Yes, it was.
Oh dear God.
Wow. Sorry, the sun was in my eyes on that one. new Smallville also.
Same.
And don't forget, tonight, I believe, is also the Celebrity Rehab Reunion Show with Dr. Drew and all the nut loafs that he was trying to get off
VH1.
Drugs and alcohol. So you can check that out as well. Today's celebrity birthdays are featured on a piece of paper that I'm holding right in my hand now. Celebrity birthdays, William H. Macy, one of my favorite actors of all time. Every once in a while, about every 6 months, I go back and revisit Fargo.
Every 6 months?
About every 6 months I watch it. About twice a year I pull out Fargo and I pop
it's
it
a good
in the
movie.
DVD player. It is freaking amazing, that film. And
it
his
is.
Performance in it is hilarious and also just
heartbreaking.
Heartbreakingly pathetic at the same time. Yeah. He's a piece of work.
When the cop
what the
comes,
heck are you talking about?
When the cop comes into the car dealership, though.
One of the best, funniest, most uncomfortable moments ever.
Yeah.
And when he finds out that his wife's gone and things have gone bad and, oh, it's just amazing. And then he made Wild Hogs.
That happened.
So,
yeah,
I guess.
But then he did The Cooler.
Yeah.
The Cooler's great, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, William H. Macy, one of our... Whoop.
Hang on.
I got mail.
Yeah.
Sorry,
my pot pie's ready. Sorry.
You're talking about his pot pie all day.
Pot pie.
It's like doing a public action show. It really is. It got pot pies are being made and emails sent, people mowing lawns in the background. It's like cable access.
We are professionals.
It's as if we're doing a show in Des Moines or something. You wouldn't think we'd be on in Los Angeles, a city of some sophistication.
I don't think Des Moines would have us.
Let's see. Dana Delaney, very talented actress. She's 52 years old today. Adam Clayton of U2 is 48. Or as Kevin knows him, Larry Mullen of U2.
I did call him that once, yeah.
Danny Masterson is 32. You know him from That 70s Show. And Common, very talented rapper and actor. He is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Now, Kevin, I know you watched American Idol last night for the first time in years. You actually sat down and forced yourself to watch the whole show.
What a disaster.
I know you hated it, but you missed the best part of the whole hour, and it had nothing to do with American Idol.
Dude, the best part of the whole hour was the Victoria's Secrets commercial.
I'm going to say, yeah, you're probably right about that. But next to that, the next best part of the whole hour was another commercial. And it may have been aired earlier, but it was the first time I had seen it. The brand new Nike commercial debuted last night. See if this sounds familiar to you.
My batter is better than your batter.
All sorts of people running around, exercising. Working out, playing games. I'm watching this. I'm in my living room. I'm watching the commercial. And you know, the Nike spots are all great. They're always so brilliant.
Yeah, they're good.
And then I go, hey, wait a minute. That looks like my friend Charles. And sure enough, ladies and gentlemen, Charles in the booth, the security guard here at the world famous K-Rock, the man who put the beat in rock and roll, Little Richard's original drummer, Charles Connor, in the Nike commercial that I saw last night on American Idol.
Come on.
Hey, thank you, man.
Charles.
You are definitely keeping it funky. What happened, Charles? What's the deal here, dude?
Oh, man, that's the first commercial I ever did. I've been in movies already and stuff like that.
They didn't put enough of you in for my taste.
I know, but I was out there for about 3 hours playing, man. It was hot out there and everything.
Where
and
were you? Looks like
we
your stadium.
We were at the Home Depot Carson.
Home Depot? Okay.
Yeah, Home Depot Center, yeah.
Right.
And I was playing drums in the middle of the field. It was hot as hell out there. It was so hot I was sweating everything like I stole something. It was funky, too.
And you played for 3 hours and they used... Two seconds.
They
need you. But there you are. There's your face. It's a close-up.
I'm right. They did a real close-up, and they told me, just play what I feel and everything. Like, just do what I want to do. I was free to, you know. But I was quite fortunate because they interviewed about maybe 50 or 60 drummers. I mean,
real good drummers.
Just as good as I am.
How did they find you and pick you and all that?
Well, my agency got me in the commercial, you know. But I really enjoyed it, man. It was a hell of an experience for me.
Did you have to audition for it? Did you have to play the drums for him?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I auditioned, and after I auditioned, they called the audition off. Said, that's it. We found the one we want.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That was quite funky.
Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what's weird, Charles, and I really don't understand this. Why did they go to all the trouble to audition so many guys and then not kind of spotlight you as the legendary drummer of rock and roll? I mean, it seems like I was surprised that they would put somebody like you in as a cameo and not take advantage of the fact that they've got living, walking, breathing rock and roll history in front of them.
They're living in color, yeah. I don't know, but I guess it was focused more on the soccer, attraction and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
I
wish they would have. Various athletes, you know, running and playing.
Yeah, yeah.
That
Donovan,
track,
what's
by
his
the
name?
Way.
Landon Donovan from the Galaxy.
That's right. Yeah. Really great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a lot. I mean, they had about four soccer girls in the back of me and four in the front of me, and I was in the middle of the field playing everything. And the producer wanted me to create a rhythm of the movement, but they didn't use that. They just showed me playing, you know, drums in the background.
Kind of a slow-mo, though.
It was great.
Very sexy, Charles. Very sexy.
Oh, man, very sexy and hot and everything. Oh, man, I was sweating everything, and oh, man, I really enjoyed it, you know?
You were keeping it funky. That's all I knew.
I was keeping it funky and juicy and dripping. My mind was, man, I had sweat falling all off me, man. You know what I'm talking about?
It smelled a little funky, too.
Every day when I leave, Charles goes, keep it funky.
You got to keep it funky.
And then as I walk by, I hear, and juicy.
And juicy.
I don't know how to do that exactly.
And let it drip. Come on, Charles.
Shut up your mouth.
The song in the commercial, by the way, and Nike is one of those companies like Apple that just picks the coolest songs for their spot, and it really works great. It's by an artist named Saul Williams. The song is called List of Demands. It's a terrific, terrific song. Now, of course, you didn't know any of that when you went out there to play. It's not like you were playing along to that song or anything.
No, sir.
Right?
No, Charles? Sir. I was playing by myself. I wasn't playing.
Didn't have any music for you to play along with.
I was doing my thing.
You just heard it in your head.
I just heard it and created a rhythm out there and for the movement of what the girls were doing, dancing, all like
that. That's usually what I do when I play drums.
Oh, yeah.
Charles, how much do you still play? I mean, you don't really tour or play in a band regularly. How much do you actually get behind the skins?
I play like corporate jobs and stuff like that, you know, but I don't play clubs because I've been in this business too long for to do showcases and stuff like that, you know. But I do a whole.
You do it for carpenters?
What? No, I do like corporate party.
Corporate. Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
And I thank you guys. From being on you guys' show for the last, two or three years, man, I got about 60 gigs.
Oh, no.
Really?
And to hear me on the show, you know, publicity, exposure, and all that stuff, you'd appreciate that.
The original drummer of Little Richard, for God's sakes. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Legendarydrummer.tv is Charles' website. He's got a book that's coming out, and the man is very busy.
Stop
and really
with the book. He's been talking
genuinely,
about a book.
No, he's writing a book. It takes some time, Kevin.
I walk by Charles every day. I go, book? Yep, working on it.
I just signed a book deal with Arthurhouse.
Really?
And it should be out in a month or a month and a half.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. He's got stories like you would not believe. Are you able to tell all the good stories?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You and James Brown?
In the same room, that
me
whole thing?
Me and James Brown the same room, and we had a ball and all that stuff. Back then, Macon, Georgia, 1953, 1954. Nobody knew anything about James Brown those days, you know.
Wow. Sure,
but,
yeah. By the way, there are two other women in that story with he and James Brown, just for the record.
Let me give out the Nike.com is the site if you want to check it out. If you weren't lucky enough to be watching the show last night, Nike.com, and it comes up right on the front page, and it is a brilliant commercial, and I could not have been happier to see our man Charles out there.
Thank you, my man.
Beating the drums. You're the nicest guy I know in rock and roll. You deserve all the good things that happened to you, Charles, and seriously, congratulations. Great work.
Thank you very much. Hey, man, I love you, man.
And your website again?
My website? It's ccdrummerman.tv.
You got to go with Keep It Funky.
Oh, well, Keep It Funky. Yeah. CC Drummer Man.
And Juicy. Okay.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So what are you doing this weekend? How about a pair of lift passes to join K-Rock at Bear Mountain Saturday the 15th? Plus, we'll throw in a copy of the South Park Imagination Land on DVD. Kevin, I'm sure you already got your copy.
Oh, it's so good.
All three parts on one DVD with a bunch of new stuff, including Trey and Matt do commentary on the episodes and everything. It's awesome. Also, Little Bush, Resident of the United States, available on DVD as well. All of that for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. If you pick up the phone and give us a call right now.
Little Bush was Lisa Mae's nickname in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's begin with Andrew in Santa Ana. Good morning.
Good morning. What It Do, Nephew?
What it do?
Super baby boo.
Hi.
Basically, what I just want to tell you guys, first of all, thank you. I'm a Marine, and I got deployed a while back to Iraq. And one of the things I had is before I left, I told my girlfriend if she would please record as many shows that you guys put out as possible and just send them over there on the tape. And I already had a little cassette player that I would play over there.
No kidding.
Yeah, so every single time I would come back, I would leave the wire, go outside, go on my patrol, and come back and just say, thanks, I came back in one piece. A way that I would calm down was actually listen to a tape that she would send me about you guys, and I would just totally relax.
Made you drowsy? Made you fall asleep?
Not at all.
Dude, that's very nice of you to say, but guys, don't our troops deserve better? I mean, really?
Yeah.
Like, isn't it tough enough for them over there without them making... I mean, that's why half the reason most of them join the military is to get away from hearing our show.
Not at all. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you very much. You guys actually calmed me down besides talking to my family and all that other stuff. Movies, you guys were a big part for just calming me down, making me laugh.
Yeah, and about that?
If you listened to our show before you went out, you'd be more angry and want to kill more guys. That'd be better for you. Get you all pumped up.
Maybe not.
I'm going back soon again, so I'm definitely going to try to do the same thing. So hopefully you guys put on good shows. And I know
We won't. Sorry.
Dude.
We'll do our best, but...
Really? When are you heading back? When did you say you're going back again?
We're heading back in June, and also she's pregnant, so I'm not going to get to see my baby be born. So
yeah. Oh, that's rough.
Wow. Well, that's what you get for voting for President McCain, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here.
I'm going to say one quick thing.
Yes.
I don't know. Dave the King of Mexico? I don't know why we call him Dave the King of Mexico. He's got, cut off gloves on or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fingerless gloves, yeah.
Yeah, if he was really a Mexican and he would go to Mexico and he actually, you know,
well,
he'd get his ass kicked in about a second.
We're doing it kind of tongue-in-cheek because he got Fs in Spanish all through high school.
Even though his parents both habla.
His parents both speak Spanish.
And he can't speak a word.
He got Fs, yeah. And but he still speaks English as if he has a Spanish accent, which is odd.
Yeah.
That's the damnedest thing.
So thank you very much, Andrew.
Andrew, thanks for your service, too, man. We appreciate it, all right?
We're not used to just straight compliments. Usually there's a but, so we don't know how to handle that, really.
Yeah, he's got post-traumatic stress syndrome. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Josh and Glendale, good morning.
Glendale.
What it do, nephews?
What it do?
What it do, Josh?
What it do, baby boo? I was calling because I was listening to your guys' show, and all of a sudden I hear Dave the King of Mexico saying that K-Rock has brought you by the new movie Never Back Down.
Yeah.
Hell to the yeah.
Really? Really?
Dude, I saw that movie last night.
Wait a minute.
You all.
Wait a minute.
What?
What are you saying?
Kickboxer meets Step Up 2, I swear to God.
Hey, that could happen.
Dude, I saw the movie last night, and I will be giving you a full report tomorrow during the movie beat.
Better than anything else you've ever seen?
Let's just say Josh and I are like mind in this situation.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Yeah, how many parties have you guys been to when they start fighting, everybody makes a circle? And
every single one, dude. Every single
dude,
one.
Most high school parties have a dedicated MMA area to them. It's just a fact. There's the keg, there's the girls dancing, then there's the MMA fights off to the side.
I can't believe you guys are being sponsored by that movie.
Well, Josh, what
we'll
do you want us to do?
We'll take money from anybody, Josh.
Yeah, seriously, cash is cash.
Come on.
Here's the honest truth. We run off a certain amount of clients because they don't have a sense of humor of any kind, so we pretty much need to take.
We'll take Never Back Down, and proudly. Anyway. Thank you for the call on that. Hey, Ralph, a lot of people who go see the Step Up movies, they go, I know it's not that great a movie, but the dancing is so amazing. Is that the case maybe with Never Back Down, is that you get a little
bit of dancing is so good?
No. You may not care about the story or the characters, but the mixed martial arts is fascinating to watch.
We're just lucky that that Jake goes to a high school in Orlando, Florida, where everyone is a world-caliber MMA fighter. That's all I can say about that film. We're lucky he chose that high school.
What are the chances of that?
What are the chances?
All right. Let's go to Lisa, who is calling from Corona. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, you guys. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I just thought you'd like to know that Rachel Ray's show has been canceled.
Her talk show?
Her cooking talk show thing?
She has one syndicated, which is canceled because they said the set was too expensive and her ratings are too low.
I thought that was just in New York, wasn't it?
And she's got two Food Network shows, but her syndicated shows are all getting canceled.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Omar just joined us in the studio.
Omar. Yeah, straight.
Valerie Bertinelli's supposed to take that spot for the talk show.
Oh.
Wow, they're dumping her for Valerie Bertinelli.
So they just announced it on Good Morning LA.
That's what she gets for being so fake.
That's right.
She is fake and canceled and expensive, and her ratings are way down.
Nicely done. Good job.
What did I tell you, Ralph?
Earlier
Look,
today,
I'm not
you
saying
told him.
She's great. I just never understood the level of hatred that you felt towards her. I'm not defending her. I'm not a fan. I don't watch her show. I just had a hard time wrapping my head around how much you hated her. It was like Hitler-esque proportions.
I'm not alone.
Rightfully
this.
So, by the way.
With the caller, she's with me. There's a slew of people out there.
Apparently, there is. I still understand it, but apparently, you're not alone.
How many is a slew exactly?
Two.
All right.
Let's close with Alan in Montebello. He's on line six. Hey, Alan, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, Matthew? What it do, baby Blue?
What it do, on? Alan?
All right. First of all, I caught a glimpse of you guys ripping into Stu Lance the other day.
Yeah.
And
he blows.
Come on, guys.
Alan. Like, Alan.
Black
Alan.
But come on, guys.
Alan. He blows.
First of all, it's Stu Nance.
No, you know what blows more than that is artists trying to get all these products into their songs. I mean, we have enough bad artists as it is.
All right, slow down, Alan. Slow down.
You got a lot going on there.
You're moving topic to topic. Okay. Let's start with Stu Nance. I understand that you probably loved the Lakers your whole life. I understand you probably grew up listening to Chick Hearn and Stu Nance. However, now that Chick Hearn is gone and Stu Lance is talking more, dear God help us.
Okay. Look,
Come on, Alan. He's the master of the statement of the obvious. He goes, the Lakers are going to have to score more points if they expect to win tonight on the Lakers Basketball Network. Come on.
Okay. We need to get a game and then go ahead and put that clip of a game and then we'll see how much better you guys
do. Would not do better. I would not put myself on the Laker broadcast. Trust me.
But there are plenty of people who would.
Yeah.
Stu Lanz. Poor guy.
Dude,
come on.
He blows.
Nice guy.
He's the luckiest guy in the world.
He might be the nicest guy in the world. Don't know. Still blows when he does a game, though.
All right. Well, anyways, I wanted to tell you guys, I love you guys, the show. I'm a driver. I drive all morning long, so I love listening to you. You guys crack me up.
How much coffee have you had today, dude? Seriously.
How much coffee have I had today?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm actually more nervous than anything because it's the first time I've ever been on radio with you guys.
Oh, oh fantastic.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Bye now.
Stu Lanz Plus.
I want to thank our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including the very handsome Matt Pinfield. You can check him out on South by Southwest Live on DirecTV Channel 101. 8 hours starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon from Austin for the South by Southwest Music Festival. 8 hours again tomorrow and then 8 hours on Saturday. Sounds like an awesome show with lots of great bands, including Hanson playing tonight from Austin. How about that?
Being very excited about that chick that's the drummer. She's hot.
She's the hottest.
Taylor, she's so pretty. And I want to thank Mike Krasny for joining us today. He is the president of the new company, who I think is the one that Alan was referring to, called Lyrics Marketing, where they are trying to get product placement in your pop songs.
So thanks to Mike. Check
that out. What about tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show? Usually on a Friday, we just rage. Is tomorrow going to be awesome?
Yeah, we're going to rage, all right.
I've got my glow sticks.
Speaking of South by Southwest, we are going to talk to Kat Corbett, hopefully. She's in Austin.
Guys, I had a rough night last night.
She said, if I can wake up, I will talk to you. And that's iffy at best.
I had a nine-way in a keg.
And that's not the name of the band she went
to
see, right?
Movie beat tomorrow because it's Friday.
Never back down. I'm bringing it. I am not backing down. Never back down.
Why is prostitution illegal?
Hey, Ralph, what can they possibly call the sequel to Never Back Down? What are they going to come up with next?
Another piece of crap.
Still seriously not backing down. This time we mean it.
Really super not backing down.
Hard 11, TMZ.com tomorrow. Matt Money Smith talking about the Lakers and the Rockets. The Rockets are on an unbelievable winning streak, and they meet on Sunday.
Well, I mean, if you call, 20 wins in a row good, I guess, yeah.
So they play the Lakers on Sunday. So we'll talk about that and also the very, very sad tale of Beans Gardner.
Oh, God.
Oh, God rest his soul.
Did I have any choice after yesterday, after them mowing during the show? Did I have any choice but slapping him down? Come on.
Poor Jesus.
Poor Jesus.
Yeah. He was such a good lad. All right, who's filling in for Kat? Who's coming up next?
Mannequin was filmed at Woolworths.
Thank you, Jed the Fish, with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock on the way.
Really?
Including Sublime. Also, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Queens of the Stone Age, Green Day, Linkin Park, and more after this on K-Rock.